Welcome, everybody, to episode... Oh, son of a bitch! God damn it. And welcome to the end of the show, everybody. This has been RP Grinders, episode 459. Yeah. This is episode 459 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the harmonica-laden Frosty One himself, the Mug. God damn it.
That's some bullshit. I heard.
You know what's worse is he made that sound like a fucking train. That's not allowed.
Train made out of harmonicas or train full of harmonicas?
A train made by and powered by harmonicas.
Oh, God. Full of cops. And Trump is the conductor.
Cops guarding the aforementioned harmonicas.
Man, like cops wielding harmonica gun.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, we got tons of news, so let's delve into it. We've got tons to talk about today as well. I'm sure you guys have all paid attention to the news. But without further ado, Eric, why don't you go ahead and do the first two news stories, please?
Okay. First is that God Eater 3 has been officially announced by Bandai Namco, and it's going to... follow in the same style as the previous game, so it's going to play like Monster Hunter. But there's going to be a simultaneous worldwide release for this one, like Code Vein. But you'll also finally be able to dual wield the God Arcs, which with gauntlets attached to both of your hands. Or at least this is one character that can do this. But I'm sure you'll be able to as well. But the God Arcs are like the weapons you use.
All right. Anything else on this, Eric?
No platforms or release date, but I'm gonna say PS4 and PC.
Okay. Well,
maybe a Switch version. I don't think they're gonna do a Vita version this time, though.
Was nice of them to let us know what they were doing with this, which systems. But okay, what's the next story, Eric?
God Eater Resident Ops has been announced for smartphones.
Ooh.
And it's a free-to-play title with microtransactions, because of course.
Yeah, of course. We can't do without the microtransactions nowadays.
You can pre-register now if you want.
Yeah. And
I'm certain this is for Japan. Who knows if it'll even get localized.
Yeah, it might not even get localized.
I was going to say, did God Eater 2 come out here? I know the original did.
Yes.
Okay.
But
were they not
the original? The original didn't, but it got released as a like a director's cut version for the PS4 and the Vita, because the original was a PSP game.
Yeah, it did. The original did come to the US. I have the original.
Yeah, and it was called God's Eater.
Yeah, God's Eater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. God's Eater. I'm looking at the trailer, and it doesn't look too bad for a mobile game. So, I don't know, maybe we'll get this game over here, maybe not. But
it looks like it's turn-based this time, though.
Yeah. You know, I didn't even get a chance to ask how all you guys were doing this week. How you guys doing this week? Breakman, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
Yeah? Yeah. What about you, Mark?
Sure, right.
Yeah, sure. Sure, 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 sure. Mug, how about yourself?
Fuck NISA.
We'll talk more about that in a bit.
I'm more like, what's going on at NISA? Well, things used to be good, and now they're falling apart.
Well, it was fine. I never played an NISA game before. I got my first NISA game, and I was like, wow, they did one of the shittiest jobs I've seen in the past 20 years.
Hey, I see that.
And I'm surprised that they haven't Well, probably because there isn't enough people playing East 8, but I'm surprised that they haven't responded to complaints about localization yet.
Donald Trump is in chat, everybody. Donald Trump is in chat.
Yeah, totally not MXT.
Yeah, it is not MXT.
I would be willing to bet that Trump is somehow behind the localization for East 8.
Yeah, I let's tie it. We might as well blame him for everything else. He's who he is, but I'll be talking about that.
Did they say that things are going to be really great a lot in the game?
Actually, going to be really NISA great. They did promise a good localization, but that's maybe
NISA great again.
This will be the biggest and best thing we've ever seen.
Were they ever great?
Yeah, Donald Trump says Breakman is fake news too. I bet he's kneeling.
At least this guy games weren't.
Hey, Trump, you know what's not fake news?
What's that? Oh, get the! I'm gonna hang up on you, man.
I'm not kneeling. I do the show only when he plays harmonica. I kneel for harmonica.
I was gonna say I can just walk into the next room and play it at you. You know, you can't get away from me that easily.
Hey, if you kneel under my desk, you can play that harmonica all you want, man. All right, let's move on to the next.
You're not nearly as big as I like.
Break, man. Next story.
I'm sorry. I'm uncomfortable now. I need to go home.
You feel dirty.
Read the story.
Coming to us live from RPG site, The Witch and 100 Night 2 heading westward in 2018 for PlayStation 4. NIS America.
The Witch, the 200 Night?
Yeah. Go ahead, break.
I'm sorry. I lost track. NIS America has announced the action RPG The Witch and 100 Night 2 is heading to North America and Europe next year for PlayStation 4. Sequel released earlier this year in Japan holds no direct connection to the first game in the series. The niche publisher also released a short announcement trailer and handful of screenshots from the Japanese version of the game. I like either one. I think it's a nice word.
Yeah.
In typical NIS America fashion, a limited edition will be available in North America for $79.99, exclusive from the publisher's online store. Box includes the game, a collector's box. Fuck. God damn, I hate those collector's boxes. What the fuck? They look stupid on my shelves.
I got a suggestion for NISA. Instead of doing all these collector's editions, maybe you could spend that money on localization.
Yeah, that would be a good thought.
Yeah. Nice and uniform, and they got to put these special boxes in there. But anyway, it comes with a hardcover art book. No indication as to how big. A 2-disc soundtrack, which sounds pretty good. 2 discs. Usually we get the best, their quote-unquote best tracks. And usually you get one or two of the best tracks, and the rest of them are some of the weaker mixes.
Yeah, yeah.
A set of 9 metal label pins, because again, for some reason, the trend of 2017 is pins.
I like pins.
And a 100 night stress ball. Ball, that's different.
Pins are cool. Look,
1 year it was stickers. Now it's pins.
Yeah, this year it's all pins. It's fucking crazy.
Pins are awesome. Freak 5.
The only time I've ever bought an LE from NISA stores when it was for a game that only had a physical release through their store.
Yeah.
I bought the LE of the PS4 LE of East 8. And I mean, it is a very nice limited edition.
Because I reviewed the PS4 version.
Yeah.
But I mean, you've seen the content. The contents are very nice. I mean, they did a good job putting everything together. It's just like, you know, as nice as this is, I would have traded it for a good localization.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit more. In chat, we have Dungeon Buster and Freak 5 who just joined in. Welcome, fellas.
Freak, hi.
Oh, son of a bitch, man. I joined the show and hear Frank's theme song. I don't know what that's referring to.
That would be Jeff.
You son of a bitch. Donald Trump says 2020 NES classics for everyone who votes for me. Hey, not even the SNES classics? It has to be the NES?
I was going to go for the SNES classics.
2020 NES classics is still not a lot of NES classics.
How dare you, break, man?
No, in 2020, he means like NES classics for everyone.
Oh, God.
You know what?
Breakman's
none of these
exiled.
Damn politicians do a shit for me, so I will vote for the guy who hooks me up with free Nintendos.
Oh God, not the
or woman, you know, or gender neutral, whatever. Whoever runs that wants to give me free Nintendo, you're cool.
Free Nintendo for life, man. You got to shoot for the moon, dude. You know, not shoot the moon. You know,
I wouldn't bother with an NES Classic. I mean, most of those games are either better emulated elsewhere or they have the worst versions of those games on there.
Breakman's Exile.
So basically, I'm saying I'm voting for Oprah next. Now that I think about it, I think this is a bad idea. I take that back.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, very bad idea.
Oprah is an awful human being. Let's see. Breakman, let's see. Breakman, you're exiled. Next story, Mug.
What? For that, I'm exiled?
No, you're
keep in mind that, you know, that Frank is a delicate snowflake. And he's very easily triggered.
You're exiled too, you son of a bitch. Anyway, Breakman's exiled
just to illustrate my point.
Oh,
coming
bitch.
To us live from RPG's Night. Neo Complete Edition coming to PC on November 7th. Koei Tecmo has announced that Samurai Action RPG Neo will make its way to PC via Steam next month with all DLCs included as Neo Complete Edition. It includes the three expansions, Dragon of the North, Defiant Honor, and Bloodshed's End, and all the included weapons, characters, and guardian spirits. And it gives a link to the Steam page. And there's a really nice piece of artwork there.
Yeah, there. I was
second
gonna
image
say.
On the page is really fucking nice.
Yeah, well...
PC release features a toggle between the two gameplay performance modes, similar to the PS4 version, PS4 Pro version of the game. Action mode will run the game at 60 frames per second, while movie mode will run the game at 4K resolution with a target of 30 frames per second. They have not provided more details on these modes, such as what resolutions are supported for action mode. As a small bonus to PC players, a new equipment item, the Dharma Chakra Kabuto helmet, will be given to those who buy the complete edition, and it looks like you have a faucet handle on the front of your helmet. It looks like, you know, a spigot handle.
Yeah.
If you scroll down to the page, it's like it's a samurai helm with like the Oni mask and everything, but it has a fucking giant red six-sided, you know, spigot handle on it.
Yeah, it looks like the Valve deal.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The Wheel of Dharma Kabuto is a form of Kawari Kabuto. Kabuto just means helmet. A family of helmets featuring fantastical design. The helmet features a red lacquered front crest of an ancient Buddhist symbol depicting the Eightfold Path to Nirvana. Now that looks like six. The holy image represents spiritual enlightenment attained by casting off one's worldly desires and also holds the power to banish evil. However, some claim this is not a Wheel of Dharma at all, merely a replica that looks as though it belongs on a device to regulate steam.
I'll go one further.
Wait. Some have gone so far to suggest renaming it to Valve Kabuto, but why anyone would make a helmet featuring a valve is unclear.
I would go one further. This is a digital rendering of a valve, not anything real like they're suggesting in this paragraph here. But it looks neat. I like the artwork, and damn, 4K resolution, man.
I don't know if my PC can handle this, but I requested review code, which is something I was able to do with the first Neo, because the PR company behind this game wasn't really doing stuff for Koei Tecmo at the time.
Yeah. Freak 5's talking about some interesting stuff in chat.
I mean, they decided to unify their surveys for XSEED and Koei Tecmo. But that was something, I guess, when Neo released, it wasn't something that was considered a part of the same PR team.
We'll get to the politics later on, Freak 5. Dungeon Buster says, Neo's really good. I hope the complete version comes out for console 2 sooner than much later.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
There's literally no doubt that it will. I mean.
This is something else that we're getting, fellas. RPGsite.com tells us Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition releasing in December.
You know what else is Complete Edition? Resident Evil 7 Gold Edition.
Yeah,
and I'm glad I waited for not buying these games.
Yeah,
yeah. Like I didn't get Horizon Zero Dawn, and it's like I'll get the complete edition. And it's like I decided I'm not getting Shadow of War until the complete edition comes out.
Horizon Zero Dawn doesn't look interesting to me for whatever reason. I've seen this game played. I've seen lots of screenshots. It just doesn't seem like something I
wouldn't even buy Shadow of War on principle because Warner Brothers can fuck off.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like I'm not doing the loot box thing. And I will never buy a Warner Brothers game at launch again. I will wait for the complete edition.
Ooh, Dungeon Buster says Horizon Zero Dawn is also super good. Really enjoyed it, Frank.
All right, I'll wait.
I know a few people who played through it and they like absolutely love it. I mean, it's tough. but you know, it's really good. Basically, is the gist of it. It's kind of like in a Monster Hunter / Dark Souls open world sort of vein.
Yeah. Well, let me read about it, guys. It's coming out December 5th. The deluxe edition will be $49.99. For those who already own the game, Frozen Wilds will be available to download on November 7th for $19.99. $14.99 with PlayStation Plus. But it includes all of the following: art book, PS4 theme, Karja Storm Ranger outfit and Mighty Bow, Bannock Trailblazer outfit and Calling Bow, Bannock Traveler Pack, Karja Trader Pack, and Nora Keeper Pack. So there you go. That's all the bonuses.
For $20, that's pretty damn. That's the full game and all the free shit?
No. $49. For all the free shit.
Never mind.
I'll wait till it goes down to $29 or something.
I like $19.99. I'm like, I'm on. That sounds good.
Yeah.
I don't own a PlayStation 4, but I'm going to buy it.
Yeah. All right. Next story, Eric.
Next story is about a game called Alcana. We talked about this before, but Alcana Four Rhythm Across the Blue for the Switch launches March 29 in Japan. This is a visual novel.
Ah, okay.
And it's one of the first for the Switch, so...
Yeah, that's cool.
I hope the game is successful and it leads to even more to the platform.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll...
Maybe you'll get localized.
Yeah, if it comes over here, I'm sure Eric will...
Sure, PQ will do it.
Is Four Rhythm some musical cadence that I just don't understand, or is that just bad writing?
I have no idea what that is, man. Four Rhythm. Maybe they mean
F-O-R. I think that's supposed to be Rhythms, but...
Yeah, well, Four Rhythms? I don't know.
Four Rhythms would make sense. One fourth time in music, but that's not quite the same thing.
Yeah.
See, I'm no musical genius or expert or even half-wit, not even close.
Yeah. All right, next story. Let's go with Mug this time.
All right. Coming to us live from Gematsu. Dust, an Elysian Tale developer, announces Never Stop Sneaking! Apostrophe for Switch. And as Humble Hearts, the developer behind Dust, has announced his second title. It will launch this holiday. And here's the brief description. Can you believe it? That madman, Amadeus Guildenstern. Okay.
I have no idea why.
Time and kidnapped all the U.S. presidents.
Oh, God.
Infiltrate the enemy base, avoid their patrols, and hack their systems to gain valuable intel. Build your sneaking HQ and figure out how to stop Guildenstern's time-traveling scheme, and has an announcement trailer.
Scheme seems bananas. I want to play it.
Yeah.
I know. It's just like the premise alone just makes me go, seriously?
Okay. Yeah, it looks like a twin-stick shooter, but you can play it stealthy if you want.
And then there's like some type of bullet hell element to it. It looks fun. This would be something.
They better make fun of the Metal Gear Solid part where they do the video game reading thing at some point.
Yeah. Freak 5 is drinking some type of girly micro brew in chat, apparently.
And the cardboard box has to probably be the best item in the game, ironically.
Whoa, I'm sorry, a girly microbrewery? What are you talking? You're dissing craft beer, Frank?
No, that's...
I'm gonna have to step in now. I can't have that.
No. I'm just looking.
That's sexist.
All right, next story, Breakman. I'll give you an easy one.
Well, Free 5 cast in chat asked if being premature is a normal probably for you, right? For me.
For you, yeah. Ask Mrs.
So, next story, coming to us from Gematsu, The Flame and the Flood for Switch launches October 12th. The Flame and the Flood will launch for Switch via Nintendo eShop on October 12th. Yeah. Fucking goddammit, Gematsu.
Well, I guess they need to tell you if it was the eShop, because sometimes it's like exclusive to the eShop.
Yeah, but they could have just, you know...
You just said that.
They could play fucking headline.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's stupid.
That's my problem. Your headline... And your first sentence should not be the same.
I like
pretty much
artwork.
With just like an added word.
Daily Mail kind of shit.
Yeah, it looks pretty.
Okay, so here's about the game. The Flame and the Flood is a break, but is a bleak.
Sorry, that's a break.
A
break
man. A break man inspired game.
He is now Bleak Man.
Yeah, Bleak Man.
I'll change that chat soon. The Flame and the Flood is a bleak but beautiful roguelite set upon a treacherous, procedurally generated river. Yeah. With the help of your trusty dog, Aesop, the Flame in the Flood tasks you to make the most of your surroundings by foraging, hunting, and scavenging your way through nature and the remains of society. With an evocative homespun art style and lifting original soundtrack by Chuck Reagan, survival has never been this enjoyable.
Okay. Chuck Reagan.
Drinking the... What's that?
I'm totally down. Chuck Reagan? Sounds like a porn name.
Chuck Reagan.
Oh, Chuck Reagan.
Chuck Reagan right in the fucking river.
Chuck Reagan right in the fucking river.
Okay, drinking the delicate beauty of...
Some conservative cornballs actually think Reagan's the best president of all time. or the best conservative president of all time, which is neither is true.
I know why they feel that way, but continue on, Breakman.
Drink in the delicate...
They're too stupid to realize that he screwed over everybody and started the chain of events that led to corporatism.
Let him finish. Go ahead, Break.
Drinking the delicate beauty of post-societal America before the perils of reality begin to bite. Don't laugh at me, Frank. I read half of that sentence three or four times. Damn it. Wild animals, the natural elements, and the great winding river all pose unique threats in a game where survival is achieved through a mix of smarts and resourcefulness. Playing as an intrepid wandering scout, you must feed and clothe yourself from the land and whatever else you find along the way. Oh, great. You're going to use some fig leaves for penis cover, right? Craft equipment and traps, upgrade
way
creation,
ahead of
craft, rapids, all set against the stark majesty of the game's forgotten world. The Flame in the Flood, first launch for Xbox One and PC on February 24th, 2016.
Yeah. Freak 5 makes
There's
a good...
more, but screw it.
Freak 5 makes a good point in chat. He says, LOL, I wish FEMA officials would tell the churches that want it to aid that they are giving them thoughts and prayers. Yeah. We'll be talking about
that. Yeah, the problem is, thanks to Comer versus Trinity Lutheran, it's very likely that they'll get it.
Ugh, they're disgusting.
Jeez, so much for, you know, separation.
You know what's
Yeah, that's the thing. What people don't realize is Comer versus Trinity Lutheran is a landmark decision.
Yeah, and that
it's
sucks.
It's a massive, massive blow to the foundations of the Christian Church.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's move on to a little bit happier news, hopefully, guys. Roguelike dungeon crawler Tangle Deep coming to Switch in early 2018.
I dig how this looks.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm down.
It looks a lot different from what I originally saw.
Yeah, I'm sure they changed the art style quite a bit.
I think it looked more like a Pixel League type of game.
Yeah, it's a dungeon crawling tribute to the golden age of RPGs, inspired by the lively visuals and music of such classic games as Secret of Mana and Chrono Trigger. Strategic turn-based gameplay combines the accessibility and polish of these games and draws from a rich history of roguelikes from NetHack to Shiren the Wanderer and even modern dungeon crawlers like Diablo. Players can approach the titular ever-changing labyrinth in a myriad of ways, using the game's robust character job system and huge assortment of equipment to create a game like every other roguelike you've ever played in your life. No, I just added that.
At least they're not doing the generic as hell and tired chiptunes from the NES era.
Yeah. Exactly.
Give me some SNES, Super Nintendo, and PC Engine tunes.
Tangle Deep soundtrack is also highly notable.
How about we go up some monotone Genesis tunes, too?
Oh, God.
I just said that. Mega Drive.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear you say Mega Drive. I'm sorry.
Featuring two styles, an authentic retro SNES version and a modern version with beautiful orchestration and live recorded instrumentalist, largely including music written by Andrew Zircon Aversa, the game's programmer.
As soon as you said Andrew, I was thinking Dice Clay.
Andrew Dice Clay did the programming.
Did you ever
and
see
design
that movie
this game?
You did with Terry Hatcher?
No, it sounds awful already. But
yeah, it was one of those movies that's like so bad. It was like, wow, this is pretty
like
bad.
Vanilla Ice and Cool as
actually,
Ice.
Actually, break instead of the Genesis sound chip. They could just use the Yamaha because that's basically that, but it's better.
You know,
well, I was joking about using Sega because it was monotone.
You know, yeah, you know what?
The Yamaha, rather, the sound chip in the Genesis was the Yamaha chip. It was like a FM.
Yeah, it was a lower grade version, like though.
You know what movie with Andrew Dice Clay that they should make a sequel to? None. Ever.
Dude, seriously, the plot of the movie was him fighting ninjas.
Oh, yeah. That's
okay. That, which movie was this? What was the name?
I don't remember what it was called. Oh, no. It's one of Terry Hatcher. So bad. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe they made this.
You know, there was some funny lines in Ford Fairlane that I liked quite a bit, but anyways. So yeah, early 2018 for the Switch, Tangled Deep. So everybody loves roguelikes will probably like this one. Mug, next story, please.
All right. Coming to us live from Gematsu. I'm skipping the headline because, yay. Marvelous has announced Bokujo Monogatari Futago Nomura Plus for DS. It is an updated version of the 2010 released DS title, which was called Harvest Moon, The Tale of Two Towns. It will launch on December 14th for 3,980 yen in Japan. At the start of the game, players can select between types such as I like animals and I like fishing. The game's controls have been improved, making it more comfortable to play. Newly added Street Pass support can also send items to other players. It is now, editor's note, the Bokujo Monogatari series, formerly known as Harvest Moon, is now published by Exceed Games in the West under the name Story of Seasons. Hmm. Natsume's Harvest Moon has become its own series as of 2014's Harvest Moon, The Lost Valley.
Which I got confused initially because I saw people calling it Harvest Moon. I was like, why you do this?
Yeah.
And that's what prompted me to say, Natsume should just give up on Harvest Moon.
I made a mistake. I should have made Breakman read that title. But anyways.
I thought Harvest Moon was a good seller because I'm always seeing those games coming out every few years.
Yeah, they're good sellers.
Natsume has tried to make it its own thing, but they haven't been very successful.
Freak5 says we need a mascot dating game. He also says ass spelunking. That's
penguin shit, you ass spelunker.
All right, Breakman, next story.
What is that from?
It's from South Park.
South Park, that's right, that's right. Yes, I remember now.
Dare you.
Sort of say it's South Beat, yes.
Eat penguin shit, you ass spelunker. Yeah.
All right, Break.
That's the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Is that Terrence and Phillip?
He said
A. No, that was Mr. Mackey.
Oh yeah, Mr. Mackey.
what he got in trouble? What the Eric said like or something?
He was reading off like, Eric, it says here that you said eat penguin shit, you ass spelunker.
I'm surprised they haven't done another South Park movie.
Yeah,
I don't think they want to do another South Park movie.
I think it's more that they've been busy doing so many other things. Like they've got the Broadway thing. They've done two video games now. Like they've just been really busy. Yeah. I think they will probably do another movie at some point, but
probably end the series maybe.
Yeah, probably not for years, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming to us live from Gematsu, Grisaia, Phantom Trigger Volume 1 and 2 for PS Vita launches December 21st in Japan. So you get both games? Wow.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I just wish that The Simpsons had ended with The Simpsons film because that was a terrible movie.
We've talked about Grisaia ad nauseum.
I only saw parts of The Simpsons movie. I never saw it.
Yeah, we don't need to do the synopsis of this move or this game. Let's move on to the next story.
Yeah, there's a lot too.
Although it's a sequel to the Eden Grisaia, so you might want to play the other first too before you play this one.
Yeah.
So anybody in Japan, this is launching on December 21st for 4,000 yen, or you can download it for 3,600 yen. That's interesting. That's another game I've seen that they sell cheaper online than they do in the store because that doesn't really happen here in America.
Yeah.
Unless
there's some sort of sales.
Yeah.
Japan doesn't have an MSRP, so they could sell a game for whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely that was a lawsuit at one point.
Yeah.
Trying to sell a game cheaper online, that would make a lot of publishers angry. No, I don't think it turned into a lawsuit. It was a threat of a lawsuit, I think.
I thought we were going to get a lawsuit. Konami got on my ass for playing a 16-second snippet of I think it was Zone of the Enders. I talked to Mug about it a little bit. off the air, but man,
because they don't want people to look at the low quality of your video and think they're not going to buy the VR game.
How is it low quality? I put it full quality. Like that, it's just stupid. Like
it's just the content ID thing.
It's stupid, is what that it is.
And YouTube's algorithms suck gigantic ass.
They do.
If
you want to blame anybody for it, blame Viacom.
No, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm doing?
Yeah, Viacom is the reason that Content ID is a thing on YouTube.
No, I understand that, but
Viacom. God,
guess what?
I have a question for Freak5Chaos in chat. Exactly how long have you been listening to last week's episode?
I think I am live on the show now. I don't know.
Yeah, he was apparently listening to last week's episode, so I think he's just now tuning in to what we've been saying.
Oh, damn, man. He clicked on a video instead of the live stream.
Yep, he just brought his mugs on.
he just joined us. That's funny as hell. He's been
one beer and he's already drunk. I'm not the lightest weight here.
Nice. You know, about the Konami thing, they put in – I know it's a YouTube algorithm or whatever, but I disputed it, so hopefully we win that on a couple of
there's also demonetization that's a part of the algorithm too.
No, but see,
I have
don't...
such like childhood memories of Konami that I so want to support them.
I know,
it's so
know.
Hard, you know.
It is
I can't, you know, the Konami
Pirates
is no
the interest to VR.
Yeah.
The thing is, Konami is no longer the company that we grew up with.
Nope.
I know, but it's so hard.
I would stop pretending it is.
Hang on, Eric. Hang on.
Hang on a second. Like, I will buy Zone of the Enders on PS4 because it is one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
And I want, you know, like, and I will, you know, that is a game that I will always support because it's like I was actually watching this thing where someone described it as the least overrated game of all time.
Yeah. Yeah,
that pretty much is. It's like, this is a fantastic game, but it's like, and it should be one of those games that people talk up all the time, that everyone should be like, and that so that people can, so that hipsters can go like, oh, that game is so overrated.
Yeah.
But no, it's just a fucking fantastic game that no one bought.
Yeah, it is a good game, no question. I played a little of it. I had it on the PS2, but I'd like to get a remastered version on the PS4 as soon as I can get a PS4. Yeah.
After what was it? Hexadrive. After they brought in Hexadrive to fix the PS3 version, the PS3 HD collection is actually really nice.
Yeah,
I have the 360 version.
Yeah, they did have.
They ever patched that one.
Yeah, but anyways, all right.
I didn't have too many issues with it, but in that one level where you're like fighting a bunch of things at once, it does have some slowdown, but it's not enough to deter my experience.
Yeah. All right, Mung, next story, please.
All right, coming to us live from the site, which must not be named. ARPG Gouken powers players up with their choice of tattoos. The hero grows stronger depending on the tattoos you give them, having grow stronger, great based in great... You say grow stronger twice in the same fucking sentence.
I know, it's so stupid.
In various ways based on body art. I mean, that's just exactly... Okay, hang on.
Yes.
Pause.
Yes. Tattoos.
Grow stronger depending on the tattoos you give them. Comma, having them grow stronger in various ways based on body art.
Yeah. Yeah.
In what way is that not exactly the same thing?
Definitely redundant.
In this ARPG, the gods had given a swordsman 5 swords. Gouken, 5 blades, 5 swords. with which the swordsman brought peace to the world. Afterwards, though, those weapons turn on the gods, causing them to seal the swordsman away. Now, 5,000 years later, players take on the role of another warrior to fight in isometric combat. In this world of magic swords and deities, players can equip 2 weapons at once, 2 buttons, allowing them to put together their own weapon combinations to allow for unique combos. Okay, these will let players craft the play of their own style, but certain bosses, stages, and scenarios will require they use specific weapons, so it will help if players get used to them all. Gouken's hero grows stronger over the course of the adventure, doing so through tattoos, again. Each of these tattoos has different stat-building properties, as well as new special moves, so depending on the art they place, they will develop in different ways. Now, this could be neat, but I think it's honestly hindered by the fact that this looks like it's a 2D game, because if you're doing something like that, where you're like, visually altering the character, it's, you know, 3D would be more apt for that, just because you can visually alter the way the character looks accordingly. Mm-hmm. But the sound of, I mean, like on the surface of it, like it sounds like it could have potential.
I put on the trailer while you were doing the story, Mug, and it looks really good. Looks fairly polished and fun. So I would look forward to playing this game. Nice action RPG with a nice little tattoo twist. So that's really cool. I dig it. It's got a nice art style. Good flow, it looks like. Hopefully the game plays as well as it looks. So there you go.
The animation looks nice. Yeah. It looks like it's all pre-rendered stuff that they've turned into sprites.
Yeah, but still. I mean, a lot of work's been done on this game, you can tell, man. I mean, even if
she just... it looks nice.
Yeah. All right, next story, Breakman.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era, Fear Effect Sedna heading to the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, are you sure that that's not a typo? It's like a Fear Effect Kia Sedona.
Yeah, exactly.
So more news coming regarding Fear Effect, a kickstarted installment in the series from Sushi and Squinix. Sushi, huh? The game will now be coming to the Nintendo Switch as well as PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The game also has an updated release window. It will now be coming out in early 2018. It initially had a May 2017 launch window, so more than likely it'll get pushed back again at some point. In Fear Effect Sedna, players follow Hana, Rain, Deke, and Gloss as they find themselves... Deke? Sorry.
And Gloss... It's not an unreasonable assumption to assume it's like Deke, considering Deke. It's Japanese.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen Zeke before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yes, but we also have a name like Hana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hannah, yeah. I can see that being made.
It's Hannah.
Hannah. All right.
The only time I've ever seen Hannah, though, is when it's with two N's.
Yeah. Put a hand on my lap. Anyway,
the female version of Han Solo, Hannah Solo.
I'd like to see Hannah Solo.
So they find themselves tasked with a whole new mission. Well, shocking. It's a new game. It's a new mission. What a shock. Hannah's been sent to get a statuette, but I'm just going to call her Hannah. Hannah is sent to get a statuette, but then finds herself caught up in an adventure that takes her to the North Pole. There will be a tactical action, plenty of puzzles, and the Inuit folklore and legends.
That's kind of cool.
So, the Native American Inuit, I'm guessing is what they mean.
Maybe as Eskimo.
The Native non-American. They're like an Eskimo tribe.
Yeah, Eskimo. Yeah.
Oh, is that what? Oh, that's Inuit.
Think Alaska.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. And the latest Kickstarter update. Sorry, Inuit.
They wear mucklucks.
You have to kiss with your noses. Sushi confirmed the production phase of the project is finished. Forever Entertainment is now completing the console versions, and Squinix is doing a quality assurance testing.
Maybe there'll be a special Shadow Moses DLC.
Kind of blasphemy as Freak 5 talking about in chat.
The Kickstarter only raised about 100,000, so
yeah,
that means that most of the money is coming from Square Enix.
Oh, yeah, no question about that. But cinnamon roll Oreos.
They probably just need that money to prove that there was interest.
Yeah.
Do they have Rick Roll Oreos?
Rick
Roll. I had apple pie Oreos, and I felt like I got Rick Rolled. God,
that does sound gross.
Yeah, I know. That's nasty, man. Hey, Mug.
Pie ones.
Yeah. Mug, what about the next story? Oh, sorry.
Damn it, I knew it. As soon as I said it, I knew he was going to do that at some point.
What? Mug, next story.
Okay, I didn't see that there was more stories after that.
Well, it sounded funny in my head, and I really wanted to say it, but I was afraid of the consequences.
Never going to give you up, Brace Man. Never going to give you up.
I'm going to go into the next room and punch the shit out of you.
All right, next story, Mug.
Play Chrono or Robo's Demon said, please. It's pretty much
but
better.
I got it.
All right.
Here
we
go.
Coming to us live from the site not be named. Fall of Light draws from Dark Souls for its challenge, but with the added difficulty of having to keep their daughter Aether safe as they deal with the,
with
the cunning beast.
Does not.
Apparently, Dark Souls is loaded.
Yeah.
Dark Souls, meets escort mission.
Yeah,
players
I know
act
exactly.
Nyx, a retired warrior in a realm shrouded in darkness. There's only one place left in the world where the sun still shines. Praise the sun! And Nyx needs to bring his incandescent daughter to that place. Monsters and intelligent warriors incandescent, like she's on fire.
Yeah.
monstrous and intelligent warriors lurk in the darkness along the way, though, and each of them more than capable of taking out a distracted aging fighter on their own. Players will be able to use a variety of battle stances, like dual-handed, two-handed, or dual-wielding, and weapons of various fighting styles to beat back the monsters, as well as a handy rolling dodge to stay out of harm's way.
Yeah,
while using these items and skills will help keep the player alive, their daughter also needs to be kept safe, so players will need to stay aggressive to keep monsters focused on them. Aether can help the player in her own way throughout Fall of Light. Her light will unlock many passages throughout the game, and is also what will help players find hidden areas and seekers that will give them the power they need to complete their journey. Fall of Light is available now on Steam.
Yeah, no fucking
like
way.
More like Diablo meets Ico.
This sounds like a headache waiting to happen for anybody that plays it. Like, I am not interested. I mean, it looks okay, actually. Kind of drab looking, but the thought of doing escort missions with Dark Souls intensity, fuck that, I'm good. You know, Dark Knowles, it's
Dark
Knowles. Dark Knowles, you know, 1969. Yeah, but no, I am not interested at all in playing this game. Most of the times I'm very optimistic, even if it's a strategy RPG, that'll be really good, but maybe somebody can tell me I'm wrong and it's a great game, but this is not high on my priority list for sure. High on my priority list is the next story. This comes to us from...
Brakeman, what do you mean pseudo-lesbianism? Fear Effect 2 did have lesbianism in it.
Oh, was it the first one that had the pseudo one then?
I wouldn't know.
Okay, like one of them, they kept like heavily insinuating, but never actually going.
Yeah, I never played either of the Fear Effect games, but I remember seeing the advertising for Fear Effect 2, and it's just like, oh yeah, this is lesbian. Right. It was not subtle.
Yeah, maybe it's the first one I'm thinking of then, like where they're trying to use that like as one of the pushes of the game, like here, look, like it might happen.
One.
It's kind of like Cool World. Remember that?
Yeah,
I hate that movie.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
One of the big things was just like maybe you get to see your tits is basically what the entire gist of the advertising for that movie.
I hate that movie.
Yeah, it's not good.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's not.
It is good. Such a fucking terrible, boring.
It's slog.
Shit movie.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't understand what's even happening in that movie.
Yeah, let's move on to the next story that hopefully isn't shitty. Magic potion destroyer requires smart potion to... God damn. Smart potion use to escape a witch. Claudia has been...
The thing, when it comes to the title, Gauntlet said it best. Don't shoot a potion.
Yeah. Claudia has been trapped in a witch's mansion for 3 years, but her brother, afflicted with a lethal poison, she means to finally escape using the potion crafting skills she gained over years of imprisonment in Magic Potion Destroyer. Claudia, players will... God damn it, I'm having Breakman syndrome today. Players will guide Claudia through the mansion's halls, battling the monsters they come across on their way out. I'm sounding like I'm reading like Donald Trump's speeches or something, man. Claudia can use magical abilities to wipe these creatures out over the game's 30 floors, but soon players will need her to get stronger. To do this, they can use mana reinforcement, which boosts some of her stats at the cost of MP. MP is gained by defeating monsters, but it's also used in her attack, so players will have to take care not to use too much at the wrong time. Oh, boy. All of Claudia's powers can be drastically enhanced through using magic potions as well, increasing attack, defense, allowing her to use special abilities as I drop my phone. Taking certain actions throughout the game will give her memories back, unlocking a potion along with them. These will paint a picture of what happened to put Claudia in her current situation, as well as lead her towards one of the game's 5 endings. So it's available now on Playism and Steam. So there you go. I didn't look at the video. I should put it on right now. Anybody have any
thoughts? The sprites will click their lift out of an RPG Maker game.
Yeah, it's looking a little rough. Like, and it's looks kind of boring, to be honest with you. Very, very straightforward type deal. All right. Breakman, next story, please.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Swappable heroes offer unique powers and cute Metroidvania Omega Strike. As players explore the cute yet still dangerous world of Metroidvania Omega Strike, they'll need to swap their three available fighters in and out, making use of unique powers they possess in order to explore and fight. That sort of sounds like Lost Vikings. But that was all puzzle solving as opposed to fighting.
Yeah, this looks good, actually. Go ahead.
Omega Strike pits. This doesn't actually look anything like Lost Vikings. So I'm just saying that paragraph made it sound like it.
Yeah.
Omega Strike pits players against the soldiers, cyborgs, mutated animals, and huge war machines of Dr. Omega across seven interconnected areas. Taking cues from the lighthearted look of games like Metal Slug, these foes will all look a little bit silly and fun, but will still offer a high challenge for careless players.
Yeah, looks fun. Another Metroidvania. Looks good.
Omega Strike features multiple routes through its maps, as well as hidden places that will offer players new abilities and weapon upgrades should they use the right fighter and moves to reach them. This is why it's useful to be able to switch between Sarge, Bear, and Dex. The game's three playable characters has each of their own attacks and mobility-based moves, so they all offer unique ways to tackle a given area. It will be
guess, Dex is the speedster.
Yeah, I know.
And Bear's the strong guy, yeah. It will be up to the player to decide when best to use each one of them, yeah.
Yeah, and then like Dexter turns into Dexter, the TV show. That'd be cool.
You know, Dexter from Space Ace.
Yeah. All right, that's enough on that. I looked at the trailer. It looks fun. Check that game out. I want to do the last story, guys, because I think this is going to be a blast. Stranger Things. The game is a retro take on the series. Comes to us from Silicon Era. Netflix has decided to do something a little unexpected when it comes to preparing people for the second season of Stranger Things. It has worked with Bonus XP to release Stranger Things the game for Android and Apple iOS devices, which means it's probably going to be terrible. It's an entirely free game that features multiple player characters, each with their own abilities. It's an action RPG that shares some things in common with the classic Super NES game like Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, such as the ability to traverse a detailed overworld and use various weapons and items to complete challenges. There are puzzles to solve, enemies to outwit. Fortunately, characters have different skills that can come in handy. As an example, Nancy uses bats. Lucas has a wrist rocket. Oh boy. The game also features leaderboards and collectible eggs and gnomes. So what do you guys think of Stranger Things the video game?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Probably never play it.
Yeah,
it's on iOS right now, isn't it?
I believe so. Yeah. And I
like that it's like this old school type game. Yeah. Like it kind of reminds me, looking at it, in a weird way, kind of reminds me of Earthbound.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just because it's more like in a modern setting, I guess.
Yeah, I could see that. And the first chapter is called The Lost Boys. Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be Lost Boys? That's cool. I'll check it out. I'll get it on iOS later and tell you guys about it next week. But that is the end of the news for this week, fellas. So what do you think about that? We got all that news out in the first hour. I can't believe we did it. Yep, no homie discounts this week. Any Twitter questions or comments, Breakman?
As a matter of fact, there actually are, thank God, because it's been, you know,
been a couple
weeks at this point.
Yeah.
Eric was talking to somebody at Boot Hill Heroes. We at RP Grinders will always be willing to promote the series.
Yeah,
and its new game,
Boot Hill Bounties. Fucked that up and now it just says Prome.
Yeah, I was correcting that for you. But there is also something else. We have a new, and we haven't done this in a very long time, but we have a new Would You Rather.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
And it's from You Know Who.
Freak Vibe Chaos.
Yes, and Free Five Cast, before I do his Would You Rather, I'd like to promote for him real quick. Him and Zombies Anonymous, his show is coming up on their 100th episode. He wants you to send your favorite moment from the show as you can get entered into a drawing for prizes. So far, there are no entries.
Oh, no entries? I'll have to come up with my best clip and give it to him. Maybe after the show I'll do that. Probably not. All right, Freak Five. Zombies Anonymous, make sure to check that show out. iTunes and everywhere else you can download songs. Presumably songs and podcasts and stuff like that. Go ahead, break.
Would you rather?
Yes.
Have sex with Donald Trump or your dead grandmother?
Fuck the shit out of Donald Trump and I would make it hurt.
You're going to hate fuck him, aren't you?
Oh, fuck yeah.
I saw this porn one time where the guy was like, hate fucking this girl, and he shoved her head in the toilet while he was doing it.
That's very
I'm
common.
Just giving you an idea.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is, by the way, here's this
I did not beat off to that porn, by the way. I'm just saying I saw it.
Like, you see this unflushed toilet?
I would like to get that thought out of everybody's minds now. I did not enjoy it in that way.
Exactly.
How about a shit swirly?
Oh, that's nasty, man.
Are you saying he doesn't deserve it?
Oh, fuck yeah, he deserves it. I was thinking more of the long lines. I saw a video one time of this dude, you couldn't tell what it was at first, but it was a dude that was sitting on one of those ring toss games for toddlers or babies, you know, and he was sitting on the whole thing. And as it was going up, it was close up and you really didn't know what it was until the very end. And you're like, oh, how could I have watched that? But I did.
You should do a carrot and a stick type of thing with Donald Trump, where you just lure some gold bars in front of him and then just take it away at the last minute.
Well, see, now to lure Donald Trump, you need a private jet and underage girls, and then he'll be there. Check out Death Op Eaters, man. They got some interesting stuff on Donald Trump and the Lolita Express and the Weinsteins and a bunch of other fucking crazy ass people. But all right, let's see. Okay, so we didn't finish. Mug, you're going for Trump. What about you, Eric?
What was the question again?
Would you rather fuck your fuck Donald Trump or your dead grandmother?
That sounds totally gross either way, but I'd rather be someone who I didn't like.
Yeah.
Because then I could hate fuck him, I guess.
But see, he didn't really specify what type of sex, so technically I could have
But this is Freak Five, so maybe I should just select this to the fifth.
So what Frank is trying to say is he wants to have slow sensual sex with Donald
No, I was thinking more of if by slow sensual sex you mean buying a giant black dildo and sticking it up his ass. That's there you go.
Like, isn't one of those double dongs? Like, you're gonna be on the other side.
Ass to ass.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, one end would be in your mouth, Breakman. See, that's how it would go.
It also has a secret button you could press that launches spikes.
Spikes on both ends. No, we don't want to kill Breakman. We just, just on one side.
Yeah, just on Donald Trump's side.
Yeah, there you go. So what are you picking?
No, they're tiny spikes. I mean, they hurt, but they won't kill anybody.
Yeah, Breakman, what are you picking?
Freak says in chat, I had to make your grandmother dead. Otherwise, you would all say your grandmother because she is dead and she would be alive again. I know one of my grandmothers died when I was really young, so she'd be like a skeleton. I don't know if I could even fuck a skeleton. Is that even possible?
To pretend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how could anything is possible.
Oh my god.
I made a tweet this week about it's time for fucking spooky.
That's the name of the episode.
It's basically a bunch of skeletons screwing each other.
That's the name of the show.
with enough lube, anything is possible.
With enough lube, anything is possible, according to Mug. Oi, oi, oi. All right. Anything else, Break?
No. I guess we're all fucking Donald Trump because the other option's like almost impossible. Unless you got enough lube. I guess, well, you know what? I'm gonna fuck one of these skeletons and I'm gonna find out how much lube it takes.
Oh God.
Oh. That way I can say it's a science experiment.
Free so you can fuck the eye hole.
Oh my goodness, man. You guys are awful. Alright. So what have you been playing, Brick, man? Fucking skeletons, probably.
Playing with myself, apparently. and then the same old Fallout and Final Fantasy Record Keeper and Plants vs. Zombies. Nothing new, so we can just move on.
Long time, not been playing with myself.
Oh my god. Mug, what have you been playing?
Well, I finished playing Samus Returns, and I've got a review for that in a little bit. And but this past week, all I've been playing is East 8.
East 8, okay. What about you, Eric?
Just a little bit of Calyrex Malice, but mostly Etrianasi 5.
Cool.
Writing a review for that for Total EGN.
Yeah. I've been playing, obviously, MPQ, but a little bit of Samus Returns and Salt and Sanctuary, of course. So that's the extent of my gaming this week. We do have some reviews, so let's go with Mug and your review of Samus Returns. And I thought it was going to be the new Blade Runner. I was going to be like, I don't want to be here. If
anyone I don't, yeah, I don't want to
not Stinkos.
Yeah. What's that?
I definitely want to see Blade Runner, so I don't want to know anything.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's.
Well, no, I'm talking about the first one, which I only watched for the first time like 4 days ago.
Yeah, the final.
Really? Yeah. I don't know how I'd like that movie now. Is like,
oh, it's still good.
I will touch on that.
Well, it's not that it's not still good to me because I really enjoy going back and watching it now.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Regarding Samus Returns, the quick and easy review is, yeah, it's good. It's not great.
Oh, you son of a bitch. How can, you're exiled. Go ahead. Go ahead. I guess.
Well, the thing is it does a lot of things right.
Yeah.
It does several things very wrong.
Like what?
One of the things, like it, you know, it control, like just the moment to moment gameplay of it, like is very good. The the controls are they're snappy. They're, you know, Samus is very responsive. It's very much of the, you know, cut from the same cloth as like Zero Mission and Metroid Fusion in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
The level layouts that they change things around, and like the level layouts that they put together are a little convoluted. It's especially once you get to Area 3, you can very easily wind up just kind of being like, okay, where the fuck am I supposed to go now? But one of the problems that I have with it is, again, I like the melee counter system as a mechanic. I'm not sure it works great for Metroid, but a part of that is because of the fact that essentially every single enemy that you encounter rushes at you the moment it's on screen, which gives the game a very start and stop sort of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the fact that there's really only about like 7 or 8 types of enemies in the game. You just get like palette swapped versions of them later on that have like, you know, some slightly different things where like one of these does
more health, flying faster.
Yeah, and like one of the problems that the melee counter system is, you know, it's neat and it's, you know, it's very functional, but one of the problems is they really, 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 really want you to use it. So fighting enemies, you know, just by, you know, like the 360 degree aiming, I think is a fantastic addition, something the series has been kind of yearning for a while. But the thing is, if you don't use the melee counter to fight enemies, until you finally get the plasma beam, all the enemies are very, very spongy. So like you can shoot, you know, like you'll wind up shooting an enemy, like, you know, what should take like 2 or 3 shots will take you a good 10 or 12. And that's just for basic enemies. unless you do the melee counter, in which case you can take them out with a single shot.
Yeah, you have to learn that melee counter, I've noticed. And I don't have the timing down yet.
I mean, this is especially worse boss fights, where if you miss it, then they'll repeat the entire pattern, and you might not get an opportunity to attack them until they do it again.
Oh, I hate that.
There is a lot more. That's one thing. The game is a lot more about waiting. It kind of has Ocarina of Time syndrome in that regard.
Yeah.
You know, there's the structure that they put in place for, like, how you unlock the next area and everything, it's just like, it's a little weak. The whole thing where you're collecting Metroid DNA to unlock the thing to move the acid and all that kind of stuff. It's like, that's an okay explanation for it, I guess. It was never something that they addressed in the original game. But one thing, like, the game actually looks quite nice. I mean, it is a 3D game on six-year-old hardware, so it's a little rough around the edges in spots. But, you know, like, one thing that it does have, some of the nicest looking 3D you'll actually see on the system. Like, the backgrounds and stuff look very, like, the 3D is very deep. Like, it gives the impression of, like there's a whole world beyond, like, this flat plane that you're seeing. One thing, though, that it does kind of detract from, the game doesn't it's really missing the atmosphere of the original. The atmosphere of the original was, you know, it was bleak, and it was it doesn't have the same sense of isolation that Metroid typically tends to. One of the problems is, since it is a remake of Metroid 2, it's subject to some of the same problems that Metroid 2 was subject to, in that, like, the little mini boss fights with the Metroid, they do get really repetitive.
Yes.
You know, even though, like, the individual Metroids they'll change them up a little bit and stuff, but it's still you're still fighting like 20 of these Alpha Metroids, and it does get a little tedious. But I mean, that's, you know, like, it's adapting Metroid 2. I mean, it's kind of part of the DNA of the game.
Yeah.
But it's my overall, you know, opinion of it is that it's, you know, I'm glad that they did it. I'm glad that they put it out. But I would not be sorry to see the game rebalanced and the melee system taken out.
I actually would agree with the melee part of it from what little I played. Like, to get the timing down on that, like, it just has to be. I mean,
well, the timing's not that hard. It's just that the game is way too focused on it.
No,
it should be a useful ability, but it shouldn't be. It is, you know, the melee counter is the core.
Rely on, like, a crutch.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. Yeah, the melee counter is the core of the game of the combat in that game. And
yeah,
that doesn't feel like Metroid.
Yeah,
it's like they saw other M and says, "Oh, the countering is so cool. Let's do this."
Yeah, I mean, it is cool. Don't get me wrong, but it's just. The fact that, I mean, if they were going to balance it, they should have made it so that you get, maybe if you counter, you can take enemies out with you know, like, here's an idea, just a quick and simple idea for how to balance it. Make it so that you can take enemies out with, say, four or five shots, you know, it's not where they're not super spongy, but if you do the melee counter, then you get, then you can do it in a single shot, and you get more pickups that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's
also, in the boss fights, you have to shoot a missile in order to enact the counterattack. Otherwise, you won't get it. Like, if you, like, wait a couple seconds, you lose your opportunity.
Well, what I noticed is the timing's a little different on all the enemies. So that's what I'm having a hard time with. I'm like, I can't.
Just look for the flash. I mean, it really is, like, as soon as you see the flash, hit the counter.
No, I
also kind of wish at some point during the actual final battle, you could use normal missiles. Like, you shoot off the armor and you can use normal missiles. Hmm. But no.
Yeah.
Well, normal missiles are useless in that, like, fight.
The final, you know, yeah, I mean, they are, but the final fight was, if people were like, oh, it was hard. I'm like, that was actually, like, I didn't die in that fight at all.
It took me a couple tries to learn the pattern.
It took me, like, when I fought, you know, the other major non-Metroid boss, you know, to avoid spoilers. That one took me several tries, and there's one part of it later, the chase sequence bit at the end, I was just like, I fucking hate this part of the game. Because it's just trial and error memorization.
Oh, you're talking about, like, when one of the enemies goes, like, into a hole and appears somewhere else on the map.
No, he's talking about the big thing.
There's a sequence later on where it's like, you have to, you know, the screen is auto-scrolling, and you have to find your way through this little obstacle
before
you
die. Oh,
fuck
that. I hate that. That is annoying.
It's like they wanted to try to replicate the SAX sequence, but they kind of messed up.
That happens in so many games I like, so I can't complain.
Once you learn, and essentially it's trial and error, and it took me probably about 10 or 12 tries to get through, and I was getting very irritated with it. I was like, I think I'd give the game like a 9. I would give it just shy of an 8. Mm. I do think that the lack of enemy variety and the hyper-focus on the melee system and the fact that the level layouts and everything, it's kind of sacrifices a lot of the atmosphere of the original game.
I did notice that, actually, Monk.
I enjoyed it. It's fun, and I'm glad I played through it. I'm glad I paid for it. You know, I'm glad I supported the series. But I do think AM2R is a better Metroid 2. Actually, I think of the three.
The only problem I have with that one is that the Metroid fights are.
Eric, let him finish.
Hang on.
Yeah,
the only problem that I, you know, of the three, I would honestly say that, you know, the three versions of Metroid 2, I would say that Samus Returns is honestly the weakest of them.
Wow, that's saying a lot. That sucks.
I mean, not by a massive amount. I mean, it's still a fun game, and it's still, you know, still very solid, still very polished in most respects. But it's like it could use some tweaking. Yeah.
I thought the 3D was awesome in it, actually. I think
3D is beautiful.
That's one of the highlights. Yeah, I for all the 3D games I played on the Nintendo, the 3DS, I think that one takes the cake, man. It's the 3D is really, really
good. Probably the Link Between Worlds was the one would be very best 3D, because the 3D is like, in addition to looking nice, the 3D actually served a useful purpose in that game.
Yeah. All right, so you're giving it just shy of an 8. What were you going to say, Eric?
I wanted to say, like, the one thing I didn't like about the AM2R is that the Metroid fights themselves still felt like the original Metroid 2s, where you were just pumping missiles into them and taking a damage because they didn't really give you any alternative.
Well, I mean, they changed things up in the respect of, you know, the variety in the Metroid fights in AM2R mostly came in the form of changing up the environments in which you fought them, which was an effective way of doing it. But, you know, it is like they're not just, you know, spamming them with missiles because you have they have vulnerable spots now, in AM2R.
I will say the one thing I liked about Samus Returns, though, is that they got rid of the X-ray scope and gave you the Aeon ability to just scan the map.
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah.
That saves time. So did the traveling, fast traveling.
Yeah, although, like, one thing I didn't care for was the way that they had, like, the pressure plate to save and to recharge and everything. I was just like,
I think they did that so that you didn't accidentally save.
Well, it's not even that. It's just, like, you know, it worked perfectly fine before, where, like, you just use the same system that was used in Metroid Fusion and Zero Mission. You stand on the save point for a split second, instead of waiting for the thing to go, and then she like walks back into it, and then you save, then you get the animation, then she walks back out. It takes about 12 seconds to save every time. Same thing for when you get one of the missile or energy recharges. And it's just like, you really could have done this much more expediently.
That's one thing that I think people gloss over a lot of times when they review Metroid games. They always bitch about the backtracking. And I can't think of another game that I would call backtracking more than I would Metroid, and that's the point of the game. So if you're telling me,
the way that backtracking works in Metroid is different from a lot of other games is that, you know, backtracking is usually not required. Like it's the way that, and it's a lot of it has to do with the way that the game is structured. Is that you'll see stuff like doors that you can't reach, your way to your next goal. Yeah. And it's like it plants seeds and stuff in your head, as opposed to just like, you know, all right, you've cleared out this whole area. And you've just gotten this key. Now you have to go to this other door that's on the other side of the mansion, you know, for no particular reason. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
A lot of the backtracking in Metroid games is optional.
Yeah, but I think that honestly, that's that game. That's unique to that game, and they should always keep that line of thinking, because I can't think of another game I'd want to explore more than Metroid. Like, honestly, like, all the gaming I've ever done, like, I've never been compelled to, like, backtrack as much as I was with a lot of the Metroid games, and I'm sure this game does some of that now. But if you take that away, what is Metroid? Metroid's not Metroid anymore. You know, it's just just another clone of itself. You know, kind of.
Yeah, Metroid is part of the fun of Metroid is exploration. Yeah. So yeah.
And that is one of the things where, you know, where Samus Returns doesn't really have that sense of exploration like your typical Metroid does. Mm. It's a little closer to Fusion in that regard.
Yeah.
It's like, and Metroid 2 was always a, you know, rather linear game just because of the structure of it. You're just burrowing down into the, you know, into the core of the planet. You're on an extermination mission. And but anyway, let me move on to Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Can I mention one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, one thing that actually is probably more of a failing of the Nintendo and Mercury Steam than an actual failure of the game itself is that the game has a couple places in it where it expects you to use the power bombs as a sort of replacement for the shine spark balls in the Zero Mission.
Yeah, and what's funny is,
and it never explains this at all in the gameplay.
No, it doesn't. And like, you run across those spike corridors that you cannot get through. And then I'm like, how the fuck am I supposed to get to that? One thing that I didn't like about it is that,
I mean, they're all optional,
impossible.
But still.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally impossible.
It could have helped
It's literally impossible to, you know, to get everything until after you've, you know, beaten the, you know, I'll say the final boss of Metroid 2.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, though, in some of those places, there are ways around that, but the game wouldn't let you think it otherwise. Because by the time you do get the power balls, you're at the end of the game anyway.
Yep. Yeah. All right, on to Blade Runner.
Yeah. So anyway, I've had the Blu-ray of Blade Runner, the final cut, for a few years. Never gotten around to watching it. And so the other day, I finally decided, you know what? I'll sit down and I'll watch it. I'll see, you know, see what this is all about. And it's like, because it's, you know, one of the, you know, most influential films of the modern era, and, you know, and. But what's, you know, what's interesting is I honestly think I might have kind of missed the boat on it, because I've seen so many films and, you know, TV shows and books and everything that have drawn influence from it, that it's hard to, that it's a little hard to appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah. See that? Yeah.
Because like a friend
that's
of mine,
what
a friend,
I, that's what I was had,
yeah, and a friend of mine had a similar experience with Aliens. Like, he saw Aliens for the first time, and he was just like, yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was just, you know, seems kind of generic. And it's like, well, that's the thing. It's like, all that shit, this movie invented Space Marines.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, and the whole bug.
All that, as he said, it seemed generic. All that seems generic now.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
I was like, only a baby when the movie came out, and I only saw it about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, it's all, you know, but it's all relative. Like, you've seen so many things that Aliens has influenced, and similar with, like, I've seen, like, you know, Bubblegum Crisis and The Matrix and Ghost in the Shell and all these other things that are just like, they drew a lot of inspiration. But what was interesting is that I was not prepared for the kind of movie that Blade Runner is.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. Let me say, I was expecting it to be kind of a cyber film noir, you know, action, you know, detective action story. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's this weird, psychological, like, hazy, dreamlike think piece.
Yep.
And, like, the characters are not, you know, there's really no character development, because it's not really about that.
Yeah.
It also gets uncomfortably rapey in one particular scene.
Yeah.
And I was like, but it was just, it's weird because, like, you know, you have, like, you know, the character, and I say the character of Pris, I don't remember if she actually speaks in that movie, but then you, like,
she
Rutger Hauer,
like, a couple things.
Yeah, but, like, Rutger Hauer's character is, you know, he's interesting, but he's weird and kind of off-putting, like, the whole thing where he's running around in his underwear in the final, you know, chase sequence. And it's just like, this is so strange, but it's, You know, and I thought, you know, I kind of figured he, I was, what I was thinking, like, because I'd seen the Tears in Rain speech.
Oh, God, that's, Dungeon Master mentioned that.
That, like, the before the speech and, like, him, like, a spoiler alert, like, he saves Harrison Ford at the end. The guy who's hunting him, who's been hunting him the whole movie.
Yeah.
He saves him at the end, and then he gives his speech. Like, that, to me, that's my absolute favorite part of the movie. It's always been my favorite.
Yeah.
What's funny is, like, from seeing that, and I figured, like, okay, this he's probably going to be, like, a Hans Gruber sort of character, like in Die Hard. Like, this eloquent, charming, likable sort of villain. And it's like, he's not. He's just, he's weird and, you know, quirky and a little off-putting, but you know, kind of likable in spite of that. But, and I was just like, it was a very strange experience for me. And so I was just, if nothing, it's like, I enjoyed it. I'm sure I would have, it would have blown me away if I'd seen it as a kid. And the design, like the actual, you know, production design and everything of the film still works really well because it's Sid Mead. And Sid Mead was a fucking genius. And but it's like, you know, the advertising, it's like it has this very, you know, other than some of the sillier elements like the light up umbrellas, it has this very like real sort of feel to it. It's like this is a future that doesn't feel very far off.
Yeah. Honestly, you hit the nail on the head, man. It's weird that you've never seen that movie. I was talking to somebody.
I don't think that's weird because I'm sure there are famous movies you haven't seen. I know there are famous movies I definitely haven't seen.
There isn't very many.
I've never seen the Godfather movies.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I'm afraid to watch them. I'm afraid to watch them now because I've seen so many gangster stuff, movies, God, and television shows since then.
Dude, you're missing out.
Did I know if I see it, I'm going to be underwhelmed?
Nope. Absolutely
just
not.
Like, no, look, because I've seen... I'm sure all these movies that have been influenced, I've seen, but I've never seen The Godfather.
Oh, God, dude.
He's afraid of it being basically like what Aliens was to my friend and Blade Runner was to me.
Yeah,
like,
no.
I've seen this. I've seen this. This movie has had so many... has had such a huge ripple effect on the entire entertainment industry.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard to appreciate it on its own merits because I wasn't there at the time.
Look, there's room for all of these movies, Breakman. I would highly suggest...
I'm saying that.
Hold on, let me finish. Let me finish, dude. I didn't say you said that. Let me finish my point. Breakman, I highly suggest watching Godfather because that... Dude, the reason for not watching Godfather is because you think you won't like it? Like, honestly? Like, I mean, I can't understand that. Like, the same thing with Blade Runner or Aliens or any of these genre-defining movies. Like, you know, watch it and either hate it or like it, but know where almost... Like, you can name them. Casino, Goodfellas, Sopranos... all of those movies, Scarface, all of them have roots in Godfather, and Godfather still is as good as it was when I first saw it.
Right, but you saw it like when you did, and like we were saying that about Blade Runner before. Like I saw Blade Runner as a kid, and I still like see it as a great movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I were to watch it now, I could definitely understand like seeing a lot of it and being like, wow, this movie's kind of. This is kind of long and boring. I've seen this stuff before.
I would make an argument for Blade Runner, actually, for what Mug said. It's more of a think piece. It's not...
Right. Right. But I'm saying for somebody who's never seen it before, you wouldn't... You kind of get the idea that it's an action movie, like he was saying, and it's definitely... If you go into this movie looking for action, you're probably going to be bored shitless.
Yeah.
You know?
No. Yeah, you're right on that point. It's like... When I saw the trailer for Mother, I thought it was one of the best trailers I'd ever seen. But the movie's completely different than the trailer. Like, the trailer makes you think that you're going to go into this, you know, really, really eerily atmospheric movie. And it has atmosphere, but it's not the horror movie like we know horror movies. It's definitely a think piece. And
yeah, I just looked at the time, and I think we should probably push on.
Let's move on. What are you giving Blade Runner final cut? And you saw the best cut, by the way, I believe, the final cut. So
I saw a snippet of the one with the narration, and it was like, you know, where he's sitting in front of the police, of front of the police captain. It's like he was the kind of guy who used to call black people beep, and I was like, whoa. I was like, I see why they removed that. But anyway, I would say I liked it, but you know, in light of the fact that I was a little late for the zeitgeist. Yeah. I would only give it a 7.
I could see
that's
that.
That's actually higher than I thought. So yeah,
I could see that.
They give it a 7.5.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, it was a very solid and you know enjoyable movie, but it was you know it's like.
Just don't watch any of the other cuts other than the final cut.
Yeah, the final cut.
I was planning on it. But I was like, you know, it's a good movie, and I'm glad I saw it. It was interesting seeing like the core of like where a lot of these influences came from.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like I couldn't appreciate it as much on its own merits because I didn't see it in its own time.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says 2049's dystopia is so finely done. It's depressingly relevant. And
that's one thing I wanted to mention about the sequel. Like, one thing that the thing, the original made me very curious about the sequel. Cause I'm thinking like, all right, is the sequel going to be more like the original or is it going to be more modern? Is it going to be what I thought the original was? Is it going to be the film noir action movie or is it going to be this weird ethereal think piece sort of thing again?
I hope it's a thinking piece because I love movies like that. Let's see. Freak5 says, I'm so excited for Punisher. There's rumors that has been pushed back to late fall next year because of the events in Vegas, which takes us to our stinkos. I'll go ahead and do mine since I mentioned Vegas. Worst mass shooting in American history. But to me, it's not surprising. We have a mass shooting in the United States every day, almost every day now. I think next year will be the first year. I'm guessing it's conjecture. I think there's 14 days out of the year now that we don't have a mass shooting.
And even in those days when we don't have mass shooting, there are killings going on throughout the country.
Yeah, but I'm talking mass shootings four people or more. Vegas was 59. I've already heard the right wing, you know, with the Second Amendment bullshit. But I think, I mean, every time one of these mass shoot, what is it going to take? 550, 250 people, 300 people, 1,000.
Oh, here's the thing. Nobody, it's not going to happen.
No, I understand.
Nobody
but
is going to do anything. Like, no, what's it going to take? It would take a miracle.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, I honestly think I don't know what it's going to take. I did see that they're now looking at bump stocks. Like even the NRA was, you know, saying that we should probably regulate bump stocks.
See, there's a whole thing with this bump stock thing because I've been, you know, I listen to like different radio stuff to see what everybody's opinions are about things. And one of the things I found out about bump stocks is that they're something you can easily replace. You can easily make from something out of your house.
Yeah, see that's the
so
whole...
even if they ban them, it's not gonna stop. It's not really gonna solve much of a problem.
I'm not saying
I'm against banning them. I'm just saying that
I am.
Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference.
It's not going to make a difference, but let me finish my point before we all chime in here. I honestly think that's okay. It's no big deal. It just if I don't get my thought out, then it just, you know, goes to the ether. Honestly, what it's going to take is just banning semi-automatic rifles, all right? Anybody that tells me a semi-automatic rifle is needed for hunting is a terrible hunter, and they can go fuck themselves, all right? I've seen hunters here. I've been hunting. There is no reason whatsoever for a semi-automatic gun to shoot a deer, okay? You take one gun, a .22, and you go out there and you try to shoot a fucking deer. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. You just suck at hunting, right? I'll even take it one step further. I don't even understand why taking a gun is legal to go hunting. Go take a bow and arrow, all right? Bow and arrow, that means if you can...
Do it the way your ancestors did, fuckers.
Yeah. If you can take a bow and arrow and you can kill a deer or a bear or anything else, then props to you because that type of shit is difficult and that takes a lot of skill. It doesn't take a lot of skill to sit on your ass for hours at a time waiting for a deer to hopefully go in the range that you figured out to the T with your telescope on your rifle, all right? So all this Hunter and NRA bullshit, it's all fucking nonsense. If you look at other countries, they for the most part don't do hunting because fucking why? Honestly, hunting? When are we in caveman days where we need to go hunt for our fucking food now? Get the fuck out of here, man.
You're like old Britain where we dress up in ridiculous outfits release the hounds.
There are good reasons for hunting, though. Like, there are overpopulations of some animals.
Okay, I knew that was going to come up.
Snakes are taking over the Everglades. I knew this was coming up. Very easily. There are reasons for hunting.
I knew this was going to come up, Break Man. The whole thing about overpopulation of animals, which is, at least in this state of Colorado, utter horseshit. People talk about
in Colorado it is, but in Florida, pythons are taking over the Everglades.
Okay,
and hold on.
I can never. You guys are talking. Right. Go ahead.
Hang on. Whoa. I live in the south. You know, I lived in the south my entire life. Deer hunting is a real thing because if the deer population is not culled regularly, they will literally destroy their own food sources and they will go extinct.
Okay, hold on a second, man. I understand this argument extensively. All right. Like I said, I live in Colorado, and the argument I get from hunters all the time, anybody that I talk to about it, is, well, the deers will fucking overtake their food, just what you said, right?
If that is the Weasley argument used to
not a Weasley argument.
Try to quell a dissension.
All right. Hold on. Yes, you're right. Eric is actually right. It's an argument to quell people like me who call bullshit where there's bullshit. All right, if you look at any of the statistics, and I'm not going to talk about the South because I haven't looked at the statistics for the South just yet. Culling could be done by the federal government and is done by the federal government. All right, so all this nonsense.
The thing is,
hold on, all this
Frank,
nonsense.
Before you say anything else, I would like to say I know plenty of people who hunt with crossbows.
Yeah, absolutely, go for it. I fully.
That's you can hunt without a gun.
Yes,
but calling is a necessary thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why my point.
Frank's original
point
was that you shouldn't have to use guns to hunt.
That's my original point. My second point is calling is a bullshit excuse. That's what I'm saying. That's a bullshit excuse.
It's not an excuse for
it is
calling isn't it is a necessity. But
look,
it's not an excuse for people to own a bunch of guns.
There's no question about that, Mug. But I'm saying. It does not take the general public to do something that if it was a huge problem, the government should do. All right? Why do we pay taxes? So that I can go pay more money to get a license so that I can have the, quote, right to shoot a deer to cull? Now you've made me an employee of the federal government. Fuck that, man.
But Frank, you made a weak argument of what do I pay taxes for. Guess what? The money you pay for taxes doesn't get spent the way you want it to.
Exactly. No, I understand
none
this,
of us,
too.
It doesn't happen for
I
any
totally
of us.
I totally get it. I totally get
fact,
it, Breakman.
In fact, like, there's so much money that we invest that was supposed to be for one thing. It gets siphoned off to other things.
Look, we cannot use this excuse for the Second Amendment every time it comes up that we need to cull deers. Are you fucking kidding me? That is the worst, weakest excuse. It's even worse than what Republicans say with the Second Amendment. I also – look, like Freak 5, I also support the Second Amendment. But you know what? Nowhere in the Second Amendment does it say you have the right to own a gun, only to bear
arms.
The
Second Amendment was originally meant for, and it was only meant for, it was the right to create a militia.
Yes. Yes, a militia against the government, like in the case of like most people don't like Trump now, it was meant to so we could topple a government, all right? It doesn't say you have the right to own a gun. That's a big misconception about the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is basically so you can create a militia and get rid of the government, the people in power so you can get new people in there that do things for the people, not themselves. So
well, the thing is about the Second Amendment. One of the things is, you know, it is, you know, there's a very, you know, there's one word in there that makes a big difference that most people don't think about. It's like it is the definite article, the.
Yeah.
You know, it's the right of the people,
yes.
Not people, the people,
yes,
to keep and bear arms. It's like the people as a general population, not individuals.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what that word, you know, and that's what that term means. But one of the things that, someone made a very good point for, you know, for perspective is like the, you know, the Second Amendment was written 235 years
yes,
ago, whatever.
Yes.
And it was like,
yes.
you know, imagine trying to write laws now
yep.
to govern the weapons that'll be around
absolutely.
In 235 years.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Aliens visit us and they give us all this fucking wicked technology and obviously the military would weaponize most of it, right? If not all of it. So now we have to legislate now for something that's going to happen 200 years from now. I mean, how crazy is that? You're one of the founding fathers, and your knowledge of guns is a musket or a pistol, single shot, right? And now we're talking about shooting 100 bullets in a minute? Are you kidding me?
Well, they also yeah. have rifles, too.
I mean, there are 59 people
yeah,
dead in Las Vegas yeah. right now because of
musket's
fucking
basically a shot.
Hold on. There are 59 people dead in Las Vegas because some idiot decided to use a bump stock with 100 fucking bullets in it. Are you fucking kidding me? We need that much firing power? Get out of here.
That's,
yeah, we need
that's not what the bump stock basically – what it does is
– It lets
what a
you
bump
shoot
stock
faster.
Is,
yeah.
What's that?
It lets you shoot faster.
Yeah, it's yeah. designed to make your finger – like when you press the trigger, make it press it again faster.
Yeah,
that's all a bump stock is.
No, I understand.
Which is why
that.
It's an easy thing to replace.
Yeah, basically makes a semi-automatic into an automatic weapon. That's
yeah.
what it does. I mean that. Yeah. I mean you can spell it however you want to spell it, but that's what it does. So the clips are too big. I actually think that anything that holds more than like 13, like the standard clip in a Glock or something of that nature, should be the most you could carry at any one point. Because think about it. The Second Amendment people always talk about their right to protect themselves, right? Well, if you have a robber in your house, usually it's what, one to two people? Do you really need 100 bullets for two people?
Well, no. Well, in chat, Dungeon Buster, basically, he always says the smartest things because it's Dungeon Buster. He said, and he was talking about back a little earlier, he said, today not so much, but it's enshrined and institutionalized to the point where it's impossible to deal with now.
Yeah. No,
referring
that's right.
to, like, at how deeply enshrined these people are with their pro-gun.
Yeah, yeah, no.
But he also says, I have never heard of a story where a citizen with an automatic weapon saved people from a bank robbery.
You know what? There was a
good... I've never heard the story of somebody with an... And that, to add to that, I've never heard of a story of somebody with an assault rifle protecting somebody from the government at any point, you know?
Actually, the Founding Fathers would be in support of it, Freak 5, because it never talks about ownership. It just says the right to bear arms. So,
if you're fighting if you're fighting
hold on,
you care about
bear
the
arms.
You guys are talking anyway. Over each other. Yes. You guys are talking over each other. What were you going to say, Mug?
It says to keep and bear arms.
Yeah, keep and bear arms. That doesn't say own. So, like,
well, the thing is, like, that much is very much open to interpretation.
Okay, here's the interpretation I take from it. All right. It means that if we get in trouble, the military or however other means, you have the right to get a weapon and protect yourself, right? So in times of invasion or military
conflict.
Yes,
that was the only ever times it was ever meant to be instituted, invasions.
Well, yeah.
One of the things that people don't get is like one of the motivations behind the existence of the Second Amendment was because America was still new and didn't really have a standing army.
Nope.
Militias were important.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They needed to call on the citizens and say, here's a musket. Let's go. You know, we need to do this. There was another point that I was going to talk about in chat. About what Dungeon Buster said about nobody's ever stopped a bank robbery because they had an automatic weapon. That's a good point. And there was some good that came out of the Vegas story. There was a person that was performing at that country music festival. He was a guitarist. He said people had concealed weapons license. They had guns on the bus, and none of them picked it up because they were afraid the cops would shoot them, which is absolutely correct. He said he had a narrow view of the Second Amendment until that night, and he completely changed his mind. These are his words, we need gun control now. And this is somebody that went through this tragedy. So if somebody like that said it to me, if I'm a lawmaker – that should change my mind, but it's not going to change.
Our lawmakers are all like focused on this bump stock thing,
right.
which I, like
right.
I said, that
right.
has been, from what I've heard from gun owners, yeah. it is something that they could easily make from household products if they
yeah.
wanted.
Yeah.
Like, the bump stock is not the problem.
No,
like,
it's
assault
not.
Rifles are the problem.
Yes, absolutely. I
mean,
I
well, they're one of
more.
The problems, but and incidents like what happened with Vegas.
And look, some.
But in most, in a lot of mass shootings, they're problems. But in most instances, it's usually a rifle
yeah,
or a pistol.
Yeah.
Those are usually what are used for killing.
Yeah.
I would like to add that now is not the time to talk about how it's not the time to talk about gun control.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not the time to talk to, not the time to... So, wait,
yes. No, you're right.
Yeah, they always say, now's not the time to talk about...
Yeah, no,
now
is
the
time.
To talk about how it's not the time to talk about...
Yeah, well, what about... Okay, so now's not the time. Okay, so let's wait. Oh, that's right. Last year, Orlando happened. So is now the time to talk about what happened in Orlando? I mean, a year from now...
Whenever I hear that, I'm like, so when is the time? Like
yeah.
You, like, there, okay,
there never
tell
is
me,
a
now's
time.
Not the time. Like, tell me something more than just
that's like
not
that's like
yet.
Saying
yeah.
that when we should yep. talk about gay rights issues back when yeah. gay rights weren't a thing.
Yeah. No. So I guess the biggest thing is
like
this
we have
guy,
more important things. Like the account. No, you're just making excuses not to have to deal with it.
Here's the final point that I'm going to make on it, and about that guy. It took somebody that was an ardent Second Amendment guy. And it always happens with Republicans this way. Unless something happens to them, they don't care, right? This yeah. guy was probably yapping his whole
Actually,
life.
That's most people.
Hold on.
Well, with basically with Congress,
that's,
it matters
that's conservative
this.
Tendency 101.
It's either all guns or no guns. There's no like, there's no middle ground at all.
How about
that's,
no?
That's how people see everything.
I know, and it,
yeah,
it's not
all,
true.
It's all
we
all
have
hyperbole.
It's not true. We have things like you mentioned, shotguns, which I can understand. Yeah. I mean, if you're
as much as I like to see a country without guns,
hold on. Can I finish? Eric? Let me just finish this, dude.
You can't do that anymore, unfortunately.
Right. No, I could see if you have a shotgun for pheasant hunting, or if you want to go shoot claymores, or not claymores, those clay disc things. If you want to go take a rifle and go shoot a deer, okay, I guess. You know, I say be a real man and take a bow and arrow and see if you can fucking kill a deer. That's real skill. You know, other than that.
No, I say.
Kill a lion with your bare hands.
I say you strip off your clothes and you hunt them with a knife. Like,
yeah.
real man.
Well,
yeah.
That's a little
like,
too
it's
dangerous.
Kind of like having us. You're like yeah. Brock Sampson, baby. Come on, you can do it.
Yeah. Well, honestly, just I don't think there's any reason for anybody to own a semi-automatic weapon. As a matter of fact, Vegas is a shining example of something very important. If you want to go shoot a semi-automatic or automatic rifle, they have gun ranges in Vegas that you can do such thing at ranges. And that's the only place that you should ever touch a gun like that unless you're in the military, right? I mean, does that make sense? If you want to go shoot those guns, have at it, Haas. Go to Vegas, and they have plenty of gun ranges. They even have a stripper gun range where strippers can shoot guns for you if that's your
I'll
thing.
Go there.
So yeah, so there you go. The other thing, paper towels for hurricanes don't work, but that's Trump's way of helping Puerto Rico, I guess. Shooting paper towel three-pointers is Trump's way of saying, you know, here's your help.
Huh?
I can't.
Free5Chaos in chat says it's only an issue because our government needs us arguing with each other so we don't turn on them.
Yeah, that's true too, Freak5.
There are people like me who have already turned on our government. I didn't, like, they're...
Yeah, they're worthless. You can say it. They're
a bunch of rich people. There's a reason why Washington, D.C. is one of the richest districts in the country.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a point to that too. I think it all stems from one thing. We could get rid of all this bullshit.
Weird, this
Hold on, Eric. Hold on. We can get rid of all this bullshit doing one thing. Getting money out of politics, all right? The only reason that we have all these laws for guns is because the NRA is pumping millions upon millions of dollars into Washington via lobbying. If we can get rid of the lobbying and let our politicians vote without donor donations hanging over their heads, then things will change, hopefully, you know, but
well, you're also having people who are donating like
Yes.
Off the books and stuff like that. And even on the books. Like,
yeah.
Like for instance, look what happened with Ric Flair. Ric Pitino.
Woo!
I'm sorry, Ric Flair. I did not mean to put you in the same sentence as the jackass Ric Pitino.
Yeah.
But Ric Pitino, you know, right, they're winning, or they're school was getting funded
money
by
from
Adidas.
Yeah.
And we found out this week 98% of the funding was going right to Rick Pitino.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No,
like it was going right to his pocket. Yeah. They're only getting 2% of that money. Yeah. So you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff happening too.
Yeah. No,
like donating to your cause.
That's what I'm saying.
You take most of it and the cause gets a little
bit. You take money out of the equation, sure, we would have politicians still voting stupid things like this guns and all this shit. But the point is, the people would then have a voice to get those people out and get the new generation of people in that don't want that. You know, so it's just
also
all about
without
money.
Having a constant revenue source from corporations that giving them money, they'll have more pressure to put them to actually do their jobs.
Yeah. Brickman.
Well, see, that's a lot of the politicians do what they do because for the number one thing of getting votes, like how they do their thing, and they keep getting reelected because they're getting
their job is to get reelected.
They get reelected because of the amount of money that's donated to their campaigns. That's the only reason why.
That's my point. It's like their job is not to serve people. Their job is to get reelected.
Yeah, their job is to serve the donors. That's what their job is, and it sucks. Let's move on. Brickman. Your stinko.
Oh, my stinko goes to overall. I'm just gonna say 2017. This year fucking just sucks.
It's been a bad year
because
for sure.
I only had a couple, and then something happened earlier. Basically, I split my toe open earlier today when I was out in the yard, and you know, I've just decided that this whole fucking year I'm just fucking done with 2017.
Ouch.
It can go to hell.
Ouch. You split your tail like you fell on your butt.
My toe.
Oh.
My tail.
I've cut the space in between my toes, but never my toe.
Yeah,
I split my big toe wide open.
Ouch.
Doesn't need stitches, so it's okay, but it fucking hurt like a bitch.
Ow.
But the Vegas massacre, obviously, which we just talked about.
Yeah.
But the other one goes to the death of my favorite rock star.
Oh,
Tom Petty,
man. Yeah.
I'm really upset about that.
Ooh, yeah.
I didn't realize how upset I was until I listened to some of his music.
Yeah.
What happened was he was reported dead, but he was actually on life support, and he was brain dead at that point. He was taken off life support the next day, and
yeah, it's really sad, man. It's definitely a legend. We might as well do a quick little.
There's a character in JoJo's called Don Petty. It was named after him.
Yeah, let's listen to a little bit. A little bit of American Girl from Tom Petty, man. Yeah, what a talent we lost in Tom Petty for sure, man.
I listened to a lot of rock over the years, and he was never the greatest singer, I think. But like, he just so many of his songs were just they'd always catch my ear, you know.
Yeah.
Just
you know, we've had a horrible year for musicians' deaths, man. It's been awful. Chester from Linkin Park. We had Chris Cornell. We had Scott Weiland. I think died this year. Maybe I think. So it's been an awful year for music, for sure. So that sucks, man. It's definitely a bad stinko. Anything else, Brickman?
No, it's not enough. Isn't the whole year deserving of a stinko? You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
So much shit has happened this year.
Yeah. Mug, yours, stinko of the week.
My stinko is NISA because they did a really, really terrible, terrible job with East 8.
You've been railing against that, man.
Oh, my God. And it only gets worse. It's like I keep finding, like, oh, look, typos.
Yeah.
And, oh, there's this thing where there's this bit later on where it's one of the little character side quests. Like, the people in your village, they have, like, approval ratings, and you can do little things here for them. Mm-hmm. And there's this thing where one of them says, like, oh, I'll give you this money bag that has this much, dinero in it. It's like it's written out like this whatever this monetary denomination is, but it's like DENIRU, and it's like you get this in with this many dinero, and then look at the same item in the inventory screen. It says it's worth 200,000 DINEIL.
Like there's no,
it's like there's no consistency. Yeah. I mean, it's like if you ever saw the dub of the East anime,
yeah.
It's like that. It's just like nobody. It's like nobody was overseeing anything. They had a bunch of people working on different shit, and they just said, "Everybody done? Okay." And then, oh God, it's like what sucks because I love the game.
Yeah,
it very well might be my favorite game.
Like even a 9.5.
Yeah, I mean it
would have been a 10 if it not been the localization.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
But oh God, they really fucked up.
Yeah, what a shame, man. Because that's everything I've seen in that game looks awesome, but.
Eh. And it right. Really,
Danganronpa V3 has some. Yep. Yeah. Issues with the script as well. So it's like something's going on at NSA. Is there something in the water? They lost a really good writer, and they're trying to make do. What?
With East 8, could you not see that game as like 3-player co-op?
Yeah.
That not be a fucking blast?
Oh God, that would be fun.
Be a fucking blast.
Yeah, be fun for sure. I've been talking about that for years, man. A game where we. An RPG, just maybe even, it doesn't even have to be an action. Maybe it's just standard RPG, turn-based. That would be totally fun. I would get that. All right. You're sweet. Oh, actually, let's go to Eric Stinko.
My Stinko is car troubles.
Ooh, that sucks.
Yeah, my dad helped me pay for the car I got it fixed today. But they found another issue, so one of the springs broken, so that's going to have to get fixed when I get paid again.
Ugh, God, dude, you really need to get a...
It's like 10 years old at this point, so of course it's falling apart all at once.
Yeah, you need a foreign car to last you a few more years, dude, before you have those issues, man. Honestly, like I mean, you're gonna have issues with cars regardless.
I mean, I'm gonna get a new car soon, but that's one thing I probably should fix before trying to sell it.
Yeah. All right.
Pop out my tire at any point.
Yeah. Instead of selling it, you could probably make money off trade-in.
Yeah. Well, no, don't sell it.
Trade-in.
No, don't trade it in. Sell it. You always make more money selling it yourself on Craigslist.
Really?
Yes.
Nah, I didn't. Well, no, I'll wait. No, I donated mine. That's what I did. Never donate.
Don't donate it. Just sell it on Craigslist or whatever. Like, don't fuck with trading it in because they'll fuck you every time, man. All right, Sweetos, Breakman.
The whole point of trading is, and this says that.
Hold on.
I sell it, and then I'm getting a new car.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Like, the issue would be selling to somebody, but still not having a car.
Well, then you take that money, and you have your dad drive you and get a new one. All right, Breakman.
That's not always true, Frank, because it depends on the value of the car. Like, my parents, because they're old and, they drive the car, like 100 miles in a year,
Okay. Let me
when you go to trade in a car for them, they get basically another car.
No,
every time.
I understand.
But and these are people that grew up poor, but now they're living off the government. It's lovely. Yeah. Anyway, they didn't grow up poor. I grew up poor, but they that's another story. Another never mind. I'm not getting into this.
Anybody can trade
in
a car. Anyway, and get a car. But go ahead.
But I'm saying they don't use the car enough that they go trade it in and they can get a decent turnaround in a car. So you do need to check and see what value.
Go to Kelly Blue Book, see what the trade-in value as opposed to how you could sell it on your own for probably way more money.
I probably should have since we pump money into fixing the car.
Yeah.
A lot of parts have been replaced already.
I'm telling you.
So
dude,
we should at least get the money back we spent into
just,
it.
Just go to Kelly Blue Book and see what the trade-in value. Now, if it's like $100 or $200, just take it in and trade it. But if it's a big difference, like a grand, I'd consider selling it myself. I always do. Well, fuck that, man. Dealers always get.
I think my dad's already looked up the value of the car, and he told me it's about $1,000.
Oof. Yeah, it's not even worth it then, man. I'd just trade it. Maybe you'll get some value. I don't know. All right, break. You're
smart. Well, for $1,000, it depends, like, if you can sell it or not.
Yeah, maybe you could sell it maybe for $1,500 or something.
Have you upgraded, like, the stereo system or anything like that in it?
I think when I bought it, I already had an aftermarket stereo on it.
See, it kinds of things like that kind of increase the value for a regular person when you're selling it. As opposed to a dealership, because they don't really care about that. But yeah. So, like a normal person, if you go and sell it to them, they'll want like an aftermarket stereo, because you know, the regular the stereo that comes with the car fucking sucks.
Yeah, yeah. The stock stereos.
I shouldn't say that, because I've seen new cars with some pretty damn nice stereos. Yeah. All
right, but, let's move on. Break. What are your
dealerships? What I'm looking at.
I do have a Lulz, so.
Well, hold on, good. Eric.
We kind of need one.
So instead of my Sweeto, I'll just do my Lulz.
Okay.
Yeah, my Lulz goes to, I don't know when they did it, but Hulu added all, I think all of them, or at least most of the Godzilla movies.
Oh, sweet. Awesome.
So yeah, I'm going to binge watch those at some point.
All right. Your Sweeto mug.
Well, as like I said, East 8 is a fucking superlative game, and everyone should play it. Also, if you haven't checked it out, watch Gerald's Game on Netflix. It
ooh,
is
good
surprisingly
one.
Good.
Yeah,
it's a very solid movie. Adaptation of Stephen King.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I watched that. I was.
It's actually got good reviews, and it has Bruce Greenwood, who I love that actor. So
Carla Gugino does a fantastic job.
God, she's so, yeah, really good looking.
The way they structured the movie, I honestly, when I read the book, I was like, this could never be made into a movie. It's unfilmable, and yet they did it.
Yeah,
and they made it work. Carla
Gugino is a beautiful woman indeed, man. Yeah. She's super hot. All right. Breakman, Sweeto.
Freak 5 Cast in chat says, MGGA, make grinders great again. Bring back the harmonica.
No, that would make it sound.
I have made grinders great again.
Oh, God. All right. Let's see. Break, I think you already did your Sweeto, right?
Yes.
Mug, you did yours.
Mine was about all the lube.
Eric,
oh, yeah.
Eric, did you do a Sweeto, or was it your Lulz?
I have a Lulz, but apparently I found out on Twitter today that Money Number 9 for the Xbox One finally got an update that addresses some frame rate issues.
Oh, so good.
Not only did it take this long, but I found out that Microsoft had done it themselves, because I guess they got tired of waiting for the team at IntiCreates in concept to fix it.
If I was Microsoft, I'd say give me half the money now, motherfuckers. But yeah, no, that's cool that Microsoft did that for the fans. That's really cool.
I'm just laughing at the fact that the original team didn't fix it.
Yeah. Earlier we talked about Vegas. Well, here's a little bit of, I guess, bright news. I found a channel. I gave them a plug last week, but real soon I'm going to have the guys from Lost in Vegas on the show. I have to coordinate a time to get them on here, but they basically do reaction videos to heavy metal music. So it's basically two African-American guys that do reaction videos to all types of music, not just rock. But I find the rock ones fantastic, because these are people that aren't exposed to that type of music as often, and they give their unbiased opinion of it without, you know, rose-tinted glasses. So I think they're a cool duo out of Vegas, and it'd be fun to have them on the show talk about stuff that happened in Vegas.
Kind of a stereotype to say like that about music.
Oh, wait, but I did have Stinko. I completely
no, 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 no.
It.
I say it because the guys actually don't listen to that type of music.
Okay, that's fine then.
Yeah,
like,
no,
I misunderstood you. I thought you were saying like just because they're, you know, they're black, they listen to like rap.
No. Well,
it can't be farther from the truth. You know,
basically, they're black, yeah. No, I mean, people like Seven Dust and a bunch. Oh man, I could think a bunch of awesome bands. But anyways,
you know what? I'll wait a week for this one because things might change.
Anyways, like I was saying, these guys. At first, it was just a channel to do like you know, like R&B and hip hop and stuff like that. But they expanded to do other genres, and they do good work over there. And the guy, he wants me to get a hold of him on email. I sent him an email. I haven't gotten back, but I'll talk to those guys. Hopefully, we'll have them on real soon. Something to look forward to on the show. So, all right, now. Did I get everybody on Sweetos or did I not? Yeah, I think I did. All right, we have a quick topic to talk about here. The game Cuphead came out, an extremely difficult game to play, according to everybody that's played it. How dare you, Freak Five? You're exiled.
What do you mean by saying things might change in like Frank's underwear? That's gonna get Freak exiled.
How dare you?
Frank's underwear has never been changed.
Oh, how dare you? I changed my underwear.
Frank probably actually has a secret pair of underwear with harmonica on. It says I love harmonicas.
No, I got one of those special Mormon underwear pairs that I wear all the time. No.
Mormon underwear came with a binder full of women.
All right. So anyways, there was kind of a tiff between Eric and someone else on Twitter. I don't want to mention names because I don't want to call anybody out. But the point Eric was making was, I guess the developers of this game put in a lot of content that's not accessible unless you play on something other than difficult.
I was talking with the developer of a different game entirely, by the way.
Okay. But my point is this, like, if I pay for something, I want to be able to play that content, all right? And he was trying to make a martial arts analogy, which didn't fly very well with me because I've been in martial arts and I know that, you know, the dedication it takes to gain levels, I guess, if you would say. But most people bought their belts, so this
also that's a discipline as opposed to something you pay for entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you want to treat it like a discipline, that's your prerogative. Yeah, that doesn't mean everybody else has to follow along.
It's like,
yeah, like I go and buy my belts at the store like everybody else. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say that as far as Cuphead goes, a game developer is not obligated to make a game accessible.
That's also true, and that's not what I'm arguing against.
Yeah, that's not his argument, which I agreed with Eric wholeheartedly. I was like, look, if you make something in your game and you expect, you know, somebody to play it only on a different difficulty, then you're doing a disservice to yourself, and you're taking away a good portion of your audience. I can't put a specific number on it.
There's a true ending in Volgar the Viking, and it's like you have to do pretty much a perfect run to get that, but it doesn't. The ending is not that much better than the other endings.
Think about Contra 3 on the Super Nintendo. It's like in order to fight the very final boss.
But
and
this
get
sounds
the
like extra levels
play it on
and
hard.
Stuff.
Yeah, no.
I love that game. I've never been able to beat it without a game genie.
Yeah, yeah.
And if a developer wants to make a game that way, fine. But if a person writes an article saying maybe more games should have options and they shouldn't do this, and then yelling at that person for doing that, I think you're in the wrong.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, that's lame. But the thing is like, you know,
that's what this person I felt was doing.
Yeah, that's exactly what
he was
doing.
As far as like Cuphead itself goes, I mean, if the developers wanted to make it a hardcore game and they wanted to be like, you know, if you want to play through this game, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to step it up. Like, I don't have a problem with that. Like,
no,
I enjoy some really hard games.
I don't either, but if they put content
I still enjoy playing them. Some people might not.
But that's
the thing. Not every game is for everyone.
No, I know, but look, these
like all games are niche. I mean,
look,
there are of so many varieties of different types of games.
There's a difference.
Like every game is made to appeal to a certain audience.
There is a difference between something like Bloodborne or Dark Souls or Demon's Souls and Cuphead. Okay, the developers of those games, not Cuphead, but of Dark Souls and all that, those guys had a very specific design in mind to where, yes, you did have to get really good at that game in order to get to the extra content and all that. But they
that
made
sounds
it,
like every
hold
Nintendo
on.
Game.
Hold on.
So the person in question for this journalist who wrote their editorial piece on it, basically was questioning whether or not some of the hitboxes were as accurate as they could be.
Okay, this is not what I'm arguing. What I'm saying is there's a difference between Cuphead and the Souls games for the most part, and in that, this guy is saying, you know, you can't play this extra content that we've already made you pay for. In Bloodborne, you get...
Okay, that's, you know, shady then.
Yeah, it sucks. It's awful.
I think you're extremely off base because there. Think
no,
about it.
No.
It's, you know, it's a class. Hang on. It is a classically difficult game, and there were tons of games where, like, it, you know, particularly back in the, you know, it's particularly back in the NES era where you either got good at the game or you didn't see the rest.
There's
of it.
There's a difference.
Hold on. Let me clarify one thing. Are you talking about DLC, Frank, or are you talking about the regular game itself?
No. I'm talking about the game itself, all right? Now,
okay.
What,
I thought you were talking about DLC. I misunderstood.
What Cuphead wants you to do is pay for content and not have access to it, okay? Every time I try to get this point out, I get interrupted by everybody. Look, the Dark Souls...
No, Frank, nobody's interrupting you.
All right. What I'm basically saying is Dark Souls tells you get better at the game so you can get this. Cuphead tells you pay for it, and I don't care if you get better. You just have to change the difficulty to even harder to get to this content. And that is bullshit. And that's what Eric was trying to get through that guy's skull. All right. Developer or not, I'm a player of games, and I'm not stupid enough to notice those type of differences in video games. All right. And Eric was pointing out the same thing. And then that guy got, you know, bent out of shape. And I'm like, your analogy sucked, just like Eric said his analogy sucked.
And you lose the argument as soon as you start hurling insults like bite me.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw that too. And that's when I jumped in. I'm like,
Then I did a postscript on it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if anybody read that part.
Honestly,
as far as like,
go ahead.
What's that?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, the game is, I mean, like, it's self-contained. Because I remember, like, when playing the original Ninja Gaiden mm-hmm. on the NES, I got to stage 6-2, and I could not. I mean, everybody who's played that game and gotten that far knows exactly what I'm talking about.
The fucking bird from hell, yes.
No, not the bird. The rocket-powered ninjas in the green stage near the very end.
If you game over there, you sent all the way back to 6-1. That's bullshit design.
That's only if you die at the final boss.
Boss, yeah.
Okay, still bullshit. I don't remember what spot you're talking about because I was thinking about that fucking bird from hell.
Yeah, well, there were many birds from hell in that game, but either way,
there's one spot I can't remember. What goddamn level. Okay, maybe
we're getting off track.
Sorry,
we're getting off track. The point was, you know, I could not get past it. It just looked like there were plenty of people who bought Super Ghouls and Ghosts on the Super Nintendo. Have never played through that game. I would wager that most people who have played Super Ghouls and Ghosts have never seen the ending of that game.
Okay. Without watching other people do it.
What I mean, like, they've never done it themselves.
Yeah, I haven't.
You can skip all the way to Sarius the cheat code. All right,
guys, can
game,
we let's let Mug finish his point here. Go
no,
ahead.
I'm agreeing with him. I've never beat any of those games. Yeah. I've watched but other people do it, but I've never done it.
Yeah.
There are plenty of games, and you look at a game like, you know, like the Bloodborne games and the Souls games. There's a ton of content in those games that unless you, pardon the expression, get good at the game, you're never going to see. And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right. That you made a good point. But if I paid for it, it's there. It's not saying we're going to put you on a different – you have to choose the difficulty in order to get that. That's what I'm saying. The game is hard enough as it is, and now you want to not give me the opportunity to play this extra content because why? Because you want me to choose a better difficulty that's beyond my reach? Fuck
that, man.
Well,
look at it this way. The game was the thing was – you know, I would wager that this is very likely the philosophy behind it because the same thing held true with like the Ninja Gaiden and Devil May Cry and Bayonetta games. I mean, they're really designed around the higher difficulty levels, and the lower difficulty levels are there as essentially throwing people a bone.
Yeah, Yeah. Not fun.
I mean, the thing is, it's not fun for you. That's fine. It's not necessarily fun for me either. But you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with it.
It can be fun for some people. Let me use a Mega Man as an example. Mega Man games are extremely hard for some people. For people like me and Eric, who've played so many of them, we can do a lot of stuff better than other people can, you know?
Okay. I Mega Man 9 was just like, I can't play this game. It's too fucking hard.
So what if they sold you that same game?
I fucking love Mega Man 9. What's because the hardest... Mega Man 9 was designed to kind of trip up people who were pros at the game, you know?
What's the hardest...
They would do things that were completely unexpected for somebody who'd played the original.
What's the hardest...
But I'm saying that these games were... they're designed in a way that's kind of fun for some people,
right.
But not fun for others. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Freak 5 brings up a good point. He says, I don't think most RPGs have a difficulty selection because it's built into the game, Freak 5. They don't give you an RPG and say,
well, some games like Hold Star on. Ocean have difficulties.
They don't give you an RPG and give you all this extra content and say, change the difficulty to this. No.
It's the difference between a game that was designed hard and a game that has multiple levels of difficulty but content's locked behind it.
I'm done. any other points? Any other points?
I did want to move on to my pro script a little bit. Okay. But I'm more upset with people who are part of the good culture and are just completely unhelpful assholes.
Yeah, well, that guy really,
it's like,
really...
why don't you encourage this person and or give them some tips instead of saying get good? It's like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And it's not that I'm disparaging...
I feel like this developer in particular was a part of that club. Eric, that's why I got to agree with him.
Please, let me just have a minute of your time, please.
That was just my topic.
I know, but let me just have a minute because I'll lose the thought and then it'll be on the ether and then I'll remember it later and I'll get pissed off because I can't fucking say it. Look, it's one thing to have a game that has difficulty built in, right? And it's another thing to expect somebody to pay for extra content that you should just be able to play regardless of difficulty. Freak 5 brought up a good point. RPGs are a unique experience in this way. You can make them as hard as you want, or you can make them as easy as you want, depending on, you know, how much you grind or how much you learn the battle system or, you know, learn the areas or stuff like that. What is the hardest Mega Man game that you can think of, Breakman? 9?
The first one.
Okay. Let's say they sold you...
Well, I just really because of the one particular boss. Okay. But as far as like
a Yellow Devil
game, yes.
Yeah. Let's say they okay, go ahead.
But I'd say like it's an all-out experience. 9 is extremely hard. So it's 10. Okay. Both of those games were made to be hard.
Okay, let's say 9, right? They sold you 9, but they added all this content, right? And the only way you could get to it was by ratcheting up the difficulty beyond your skill
set. Did I have to pay more money for it?
Yeah, well, you already
If they're charging me more money for it and not letting me have it, then yeah.
They already charged you.
But if it was in there to begin with? Well, no. For instance, like... Mega Man powered up. Proto Man was an unlockable character only if you unlock the entire, if you beat every stage, basically on easy, normal, and hard.
Okay, easy, normal. So there you go.
After a couple of years, though, Capcom just decided to unlock him.
Okay,
which is the developer's decision. But
this is good. Okay, you could play it on easy and still get that DLC content, right?
No.
You couldn't. You had to play it
on
hard.
No, that's what I'm saying. You had to beat the game on every setting.
Yeah, he wasn't DLC. He was an unlockable character that was unlocked after you beat all three difficulties.
Right. He came with the game, yes.
I don't mind extra bonuses like what is it? Gears of War has an insane bonus where you know, if you beat every level on insane, you get a different ending. That's not what I'm saying. That's okay.
How about that? Let me like use the Ninja Gaiden games as an example. Like the original Ninja Gaiden, if you play it on the harder difficulties, you'll get extra enemies okay. that you'll never see in normal difficulty.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with that. Right?
You know what's weird? In Mega Man Legends for the PlayStation 1, to unlock easy mode, you have to beat hard mode. Isn't that kind of messed up?
Oh, God.
Legends? I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you had.
That's stupid.
It's like, why would you beat hard mode to unlock easy mode? They fucked that up.
Dumb. Yeah, it's dumb.
It is kind of weird.
I like it when games, like, make you play on an easier level, and they give you an extra, like, you know, if you beat it on extra hard, you get this. That I'm okay with, but Cuphead's a little different. You know, they basically say, we got the content here, and fuck you, you can't play it because your skill set sucks. Get better.
Well, I think the thing is, you know, if they're stating outright what has generally always been implicit in older games, it may come off as a little dickish, but they're not doing anything. They're not doing anything wrong. The game itself is constructed in the same fashion as a lot of the old classic Nintendo games.
I
would be really cool with what you're talking about, Frank. Like, I would love to be able to play, like, if there's a certain stage you can't get past, to be able to skip it.
Yeah.
And go play these old other stages and stuff. But what I'm saying is it's the developer's choice.
No, there's no question about that.
You know, another thing that was weird that I noticed in another game was in the Wild Guns remaster for the PlayStation 4 and PC. But, you can only play certain levels if you play on certain difficulties.
And by the way, I won't play your game if you're a dick to me. I've had a few developers...
Which is fine, because I guess, like, I get to play this one level instead.
Eric, let him finish.
Okay. Yeah. I won't play the game if you're a dick to me. Like, I've had developers be kind of snotty with me, and maybe they had a bad day or whatever. But, you know, if you can't take the time to be cool with the people that are going to play your game or that have legitimate gripes and questions like Eric did today, I'm not going to play that game. Now, I'm not saying I'm not going to play Cuphead.
That wasn't today. That was actually last night.
Well, whatever, Eric. I responded today. So... The point being is, like, if I see somebody being an asshole to somebody and they're a developer, then I'm less likely to play the game because I'm like, look, you're just too inaccessible to me, you know. And take for instance, and it's the opposite. If you're nice to me or people that I know or to people in general, I want to play your game. You know,
I kind of get your point because that's how I've felt about Steve Jobs and Apple for a long time. Yeah. I mean, even though he's gone, but I'm saying back when he was in charge.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that's not my reason for hating Apple. Just whatever. I don't hate
fucking
them.
Fucking love Apple.
I don't hate them. I meant back when he was in charge. Yeah. But,
no, it's Steve Jobs. Not
but now, guy. Like, I'm all for an American company doing good because it's good for us to have jobs, I guess.
Yeah. All right.
Even though the people who own the company still bank, you know, the most money. Anyway, we can get into that later.
All right. We got to go. Mug, is there anything else you wanted to add to that before or anything?
All right. I'm all set.
Your plugs. Any plugs?
You're not even going to play the harmonica.
God damn it, Eric. You're exiled, you son of a bitch. God damn it. I thought he forgot about it, and then you have to bring that shit up, man. You're exiled.
Sitting here
Eric.
Fiddling with it, and I wasn't even thinking about it. Go right home. I'm gonna go.
Eric.
Before we go into the plugs, there's real quick in chat. Freak5cast says, this makes me think of Chrono Trigger. Did anyone else beat the game every time you had access to the portal to the end just to see all the potential endings? Yeah, that was one of my goals with Chrono Trigger, was to see all the endings.
Yeah.
And then argue with friends over what happened, what transpired during those endings. Like, yeah, they're totally making out. Shut up. Anyway.
Yeah, you know what?
Dutchbush says, Yep.
All right.
Dutchbush says, Diablo 3 is like that. It even offers an Iron Man mode where if you die, your character's gone. Ooh. I would never fucking play that mode. But players love it. There are some people that love it because of the unique challenge and loot it potentially offers.
No, I understand.
I agree with that. But like I said, I would never play that mode because fuck that.
Yeah,
God damn,
fuck
lose
that.
Your character and everything.
Yeah, no, fuck
in
that.
In Diablo,
it's sort of like that in
fuck
Dungeon.
No,
that takes me back to
Dungeon. You do a lot of work in Diablo, lose everything. God damn, no.
It takes me back to
like Mr. Invincible.
Eric.
That's right. Go ahead. Eric, your plugs, please.
Oh, we're going to plugs now?
Yeah.
Okay. You can find sites I've written reviews for on places like BostonBasherBrigade.com, TotallyGN.com, VogNetwork.com. In fact, I've got a review of Cat Quest up on there, the PC version, because the console versions aren't out yet, which makes me wonder, when is that going to happen? I think it's soon. It's just there hasn't been no announcements.
All right. Any other plugs, Eric?
But there's also my YouTube channel, Funny T-Man, and then you can find me on Twitter at EricRPG.
All right. Breakman, your plugs.
You can follow me at @break_man and at RP Grinders. And you can send us a would you rather, like our friend at Freak5Chaos, who wants to see if we'll throw up at any point.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that is what he's trying to do. Are you trying to make us throw up, Freak? Is that what your goal is?
Oh, God.
I mean, it's an admirable goal. I was just wondering.
If you want to throw up, just look up on YouTube, I think it's 5,000 maggots. Eating 5,000 maggots, that'll make you throw up for sure. So, anything else, Break?
Wasn't vomiting enough? I mean, yeah, geez. Exactly.
All right, my plugs are as follows, at Frank Branches, at RP Grinders. At Frank Branches, at RP Grinders on Twitter. You can catch us live every Saturday, 3 Eastern Time, on YouTube, Twitch, Ustream. And if you can't catch us live and join the awesome chat that we have here, then feel free to download the archive on iTunes, YouTube, and all the available channels. And that's it, I think. Oh, this month is Halloween month, so I'm going to be doing lots of reviews.
I think we were supposed to do a free-for-all on vampires and werewolves. Maybe you could save that for like next week or something.
Yeah, let's save it for next week, Eric. Please let me finish, Eric. I honestly, dude, I just want to get my thought out. I don't even know if that's affiliated with who I think it is, Freak 5, and if it is, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. Go check out Freak 5 show, Zombies Anonymous. Give them a shout out, give them a favorite clip of the previous 99 episodes. They're doing 100 episodes their next recording session. And I think that's about it. Go see Blade Runner. I'm going to go see it maybe tonight or tomorrow. And that's about all I got. Thanks everybody in chat, Dungeon Buster, Freak 5. Who else was in there? MXT was in there for a short bit. I know Bridget was in there for a quick little bit. So thanks everybody for joining RP Grinders this week. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, guys.